now it's time to turn things over to the great Dean Richards.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Busy week with the election and the
Oscars. Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and last night, a busy night in Chicago with Kiss appearing.
You know, I have to say, I did not know anything about that until yesterday afternoon. And, I mean, my gosh, Kiss in Chicago. I mean,
they say it's their final tour.
Yeah, I don't buy
that.
Last
time you're going to be able to see them. So it's nice that they were.
Gene Simmons is saying that?
Gene Simmons is saying that. Man of his word, Gene Simmons is saying that.
Gene Simmons, who can't find another way to exploit the band for any more money?
Oh, there are, I'm sure, plenty more ways he could still exploit the band for money. Apparently, they just, unless, you know, Cher has said she's retired about six times.
Yeah, I see, I'm not
other,
buying
other
it.
Performers, but they say they're, you know, it's not as easy to put on those big space man suits and put on all the makeup as it used to be.
Yeah, it's you get shoulder strain from putting the makeup
right,
on. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so we'll talk about that. Also, last night we had a great Q&A with Bobby Moynihan, SNL fame,
yes,
over at the Museum of Broadcast Communication. We're going to play back that interview for you coming up a little later on.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah,
sounds
I made him
great.
Cry during the interview. I'm very.
You made him cry.
Yeah.
Now I got to listen to find out why.
That's all. That's every interviewer's dream, to be able to do like Oprah and make your
or Barbara Walters.
Right, or Barbara Walters. Right. Bobby Moynihan, very emotional. We'll play that
wow.
for you later on here on the station, where you can hear everyone's favorite weatherman, Tom Skilling, weekday afternoons at 4 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes. 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Builder Supply Outlet, and here is Dave Schwann.
Good morning. Cloudy skies, 18 at O'Hare. Six people were shot this morning at what is being called a private club in the South Shore neighborhood. As WGN-TV's Courtney Guzman reports, it happened near 79th and Exchange Avenue.
The motorcycle club was gathering here at the time of the shooting. The six victims range in age from 24 to 31, most self-transported to area hospitals. Now, two of those victims were women. There was an array of clothing seen laying on the ground outside.
No suspects are in custody. No suspects also in custody in the shooting of a 22-year-old woman who died after being hit while sitting in a home in the Inglewood neighborhood. This happened in the house at 7200 block of South May. The shots were fired through the window. She was hit in the head and died at the scene. A hit-and-run driver in New Orleans struck eight people and killed two of them during Mardi Gras celebrations yesterday. Police have arrested Tashante Tony, who is the son of a New Orleans police officer. Witnesses say he was driving drunk. Two little girls, sisters aged 5 and 8, are missing in Northern California. Last seen on Friday when they asked their mother if they could go outside to play, and she said no. Authorities think the sisters wandered into nearby woods. We have more from ABC's Ariel Reshef.
The sheriff's department saying they have found evidence that the girls were, in fact, in those woods.
We have found some clues during the day that have made us change our direction. We found some girl bar wrappers, and we were able to confirm with the mom that, yes, these are the girl bars that I've bought in the last few days. So the rappers showed us a direction from where they started to where the rappers ended up.
The sheriff's office also saying searchers found some boot marks that match what the girls may have been wearing.
Police need your help in finding two young women missing for a week from Gary, Indiana. Police there say Jessica Flores and Melina Cottrell were last seen on a Facebook Live post last Sunday. They were missing the following day. Authorities say Flores borrowed her boyfriend's car, which was found abandoned in South Chicago Heights. It had fire damage and some of her belongings inside. Flores is the mother of six children. And SpaceX's new capsule has arrived at the International Space Station. No one was aboard the Dragon capsule, launched yesterday on its first test flight. Only a robot-like figure was aboard, but the three station astronauts that were the astronauts at the station welcomed the Dragon as it neatly docked this morning and became the first American-made designed for crew spacecraft to pull up in 8 years.
It sounds like Star Trek.
I know it does, yeah, with a robot-like figure inside, and it just does. Just pulled in very slowly and
danger.
Docked.
Danger.
Danger. Will. Warning.
Danger, Will Robinson.
I don't know if it said that or not, but wouldn't that be something if somebody had a sense of humor with like the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and put a robot on
board? If I was the guy who developed the robot, that would have been the first thing I put in. Waving arms and
right.
Crazy waving arms and danger, Will
danger,
Robinson.
danger. And then when they finally lands, it says, it does not compute.
Right.
It does not compute.
And I would have hired a guy to be like Dr. Smith.
Oh,
even better.
Oh, Will, the pain. Oh, Will.
This confounded robot.
This confounded creature. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, they faced the worst team in the Western Conference. The Blackhawks trailing early. They come back to tie, but didn't have enough in the end. They lose to the Kings in L.A. 6-3. Brandon Perlini with two goals, his first score since the Winter Classic. Hawks will wrap up their three-game road trip in San Jose tonight. Chris Bowden's pregame starts at 8:30. John and Troy have the call starting at 9 on WGN and WGNRadio.com. Blackhawks now 7 points out of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Cactus League Baseball today for you as the White Sox take on the Cubs in Mesa. We have that for you starting at 2 o'clock with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson right here on WGN. White Sox beat the Rockies yesterday 10-6. Jose Abreu and John Jay with home runs. Cubs lost to the Brewers by the final of 7-4. Bulls will take on Atlanta this afternoon at the United Center. The Bulls and Hawks combined for the third highest scoring game in NBA history Friday night in Atlanta. And the Bulls 168-161 win in four overtimes. College basketball yesterday had Loyola winning a share of the Missouri Valley Conference title with a win over Bradley 81-68. Evansville over Valpo 65-63. Illinois State falls at Southern Illinois 72-63. And it was UIC beating Detroit by the final of 80-73. Also today, it'll be Northwestern trying to snap a 9-game losing skid when it visits Illinois. Pregame starting at 5:15. Dave Ennett, Joey Meyer have the tip at 5:30 here on WGN and WGNRadio.com. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
Andy sounds perky today, doesn't he?
Andy, you know, I am a little perky today. You know, I had some sleep last night and was looking forward to coming in today. You know, and only thing I could wish for more is, you know, a little warmer temperatures out there.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be.
It's
yeah.
More like March, you know what I mean?
It's going to get worse. Yeah, it's March. Come on, enough.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Enough of this crazy weather.
They got to fire that groundhog, I'm telling you. Find that groundhog that didn't see its shadow and just fire it.
Right? He was incorrect this year. It did not compute.
No, it did not.
Because normally we put a lot of stock in with what the groundhog
yeah,
says.
Yeah, normally all my faith is in the groundhog. Yep.
He's the guiding light.
Okay.
Which tells you a lot about my life. Probably more than you need to know.
Thank you.
Just thought Andy sounded perky today.
Thank you, energetic Andy. All not I angry
said was,
Andy.
All I said was he sounded perky. And then
it started all that, didn't it?
5 minutes later, mm-hmm. Chwani wants to have a groundhog for lunch.
And another thing.
Energetic Andy today, not angry Andy. Yeah. Energetic Andy.
I like that one. I like that guy better.
You like that guy better.
Yeah.
I do, too. He puts a smile
on
his face.
All right, TikTok.
Okay.
TikTok.
WGN traffic. Our expressways and tollways are moving at posted speeds. Do watch for an accident, though, 35th and Western Avenue. And we also have an accident right downtown on the Magnificent Mile, an accident in Michigan and Ohio. Other than that, things moving well. One other item on the north side in the Lakeview area. Belmont is closed in both directions between Broadway and Sheridan until tomorrow afternoon at 4 for construction crane removal. The CTA is rerouting three bus routes, 77, 151, and 156.
Isn't the Polar Plunge today?
Polar Plunge is later today, yes.
Where is that taking place?
Probably North Avenue.
Okay. You know what time?
No, I don't. Later this morning, you're the second person that asked about the Polar Plunge today.
No, it's a big deal.
Yeah, well, yeah,
it's and cold
it's
outside.
Perfect weather for the Polar Plunge.
People are going to take their clothes off and run on the lake.
The lake is warmer than the air temperature.
Is Bernie Sanders going to run in the...
He is coming off to Chicago tonight.
I know.
I don't know if he's
going to take his shirt off and run into the lake. That'll get some attention.
Wouldn't it?
And I challenge all of the other candidates.
I challenge all of the other candidates to do what I am doing. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center for the Polar Plunge today. Cloudy, windy, colder, sporadic snow showers near the lake, no less. A highs in the 20s, but then temperatures falling by the evening. Very cold tonight. We have a wind chill advisory going into effect tonight until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Lows overnight, 5 below, well, inland, 5 above downtown. And for tomorrow, partly sunny, but very, very cold. A high of only 11 above for tomorrow, and wind chills down to minus 15. 18 now at O'Hare. Midway has 20. Oaklawn also 20. Chicago's lakefront 20. Lake Michigan water temperature 34.
Ooh, balmy.
Yeah, it's balmy and nice and warm. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom.
How many times have you said that?
I have no idea. I'm W in the WGN newsroom.
You are the W?
Ready to join the conversation.
The W stands for what?
For what? It does not compute. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom. There it is, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes. On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here we go. Funny, I'm trying to find the exact location and time for the Polar Plunge for the Special Olympics. You know, the whole Polar Plunge thing is a benefit.
Benefit the Special Olympics, yeah.
And apparently there are, do you know that there are 23 different Polar Plunges?
I didn't know that there were going to be that many.
23, they've started earlier in February. And I'm just trying to find the one for today.
Yeah, here, I've got something.
What's today? March 3rd,
Chicago, 10 a.m. North Avenue Beach.
10 a.m.
North Avenue Beach, 10 o'clock.
There's also one today in Macomb, in Mettawa. Where else? Mentino. Oh, Mentino was yesterday. Let's see, where else? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of places you can take your clothes off and run on the... Yorkville, you can go...
into the water there.
No, there was a body of water.
Well, I think there's a river that goes through.
Someone's pool.
Maybe the Fox River? Could it be the Fox River?
Could be, yes. Yeah. It's you know, a river runs through it. Get it?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So that's going to take place today. They're expecting 23,000 people and 20,000 young athletes of the Special Olympics to participate.
Their hashtag is awesome. Hashtag freezing for a reason.
Freezing for a reason.
Love that.
Yep. Would you ever do that?
No.
No. My brother did it one time at North Avenue.
I had a friend that did it at North Avenue and said, I'm not doing this
again. I would like to sit in a nice, warm building and write the biggest, fattest check to Special Olympics. Then go outside and be the biggest, fattest guy on the beach with my shirt off. Nobody wants to see me without my shirt on out there.
Didn't we have Vince Vaughn in the studio just a few years ago, right after he
came
back?
Was that after he did the polar plunge? Was that after he jumped out of the airplane?
No, it was polar plunge, sure. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. He came in and and then the look
dripped all over the floor. That's why we had to move out of Tribune Tower. He messed up the whole, got mold after that. It was a mess.
Not just the station, the entire building.
The whole dump. We had to leave the whole place. Yeah, he did. Vince Vaughn and Lady Gaga has done it.
Right.
A little bit of Jimmy Fallon,
right. I was going to say Jimmy Kimmel, but Fallon was
Jimmy
the
Fallon
one.
Jimmy Fallon,
yeah. The look on his face when he came out of the water.
He looked shocked. Was that the polar plunge, the polar vortex here?
It might have been, yeah. Which the water was just...
The water was probably nice and warm compared to
the air, yeah.
The air, compared which is the case today. What is the water temperature you said?
34.
And the air temperature?
The air temperature downtown is, it's 18 at O'Hare, 20 at Midway. So you know, between 18 and 20 degrees. Chicago's lakefront has 20. So the water is 14 degrees warmer than the air temperature.
About that.
Both are still very cold.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's not pretend like one is, bath water.
But you can still see ice in some places on the lakefront here. Yeah, it's cold. It's not tepid. It's not even tepid.
I give them a lot of credit. People do that every year. I give them a lot of credit. They raise a lot of money. It's just not for me.
No.
It's a fantastic cause. I love Special Olympics. And as I say, I would, you know, I'd be more than happy to sit in a nice warm car while people are peeling their clothes and running into them. I'll just sit there with my checkbook and fill out the amount for them. But running into that cold water, just not for me. I hate cold water.
Yeah, it's not fun.
I don't like it in the summertime when, you know, if you go to the beach, if you're on vacation someplace or whatever, wherever you go to the beach, you know, getting into a pool or getting into the water, it's one of my least favorite things in life.
Well, you do it gradually.
I know.
You do it gradually.
Is it right? It takes me like 2 hours to get in.
2 hours?
Is that too long?
Yeah, that's a little,
is that too
a little
long?
Too long. Because by that time, everybody else is out of the pool.
Yeah, no, I'm inching in. It's like,
you got to do it like a Band-Aid. Just rip it right off.
I know. I hate that.
You get in maybe about waist high and then just take the plunge.
I tortured myself for about 2 hours. I get to a certain point and I was like, I'm not moving one more mega inch.
And you get those people that walk in and they get to about their waist and then they feel the water and they put it on their arms and they put it.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. And I couldn't be one of these people. Like you said, Andy, I mean, that's the smart, I guess the smartest way to do it is just jump in. Yep. Just jump in.
Sure.
But it's a shock to my body. I have to respect my body.
Your body is your temple.
That's my body is my temple. That's right.
Oh, there's a vision right there.
Yeah, my body is my temple.
I can't see you today, good. Dean.
Oh, what?
I can't see you on our array of cameras.
Four
here.
Cameras and they're all showing empty chairs.
Yeah, I can't see you.
Why is that? I wonder. Yeah.
This is just like when you go to the store, right?
I don't want anyone to see. Somebody took my shopping cart yesterday, by the way.
Oh.
I thought of you guys. I was shopping. I'd left my cart in a certain place. I know I should stop leaving my cart unattended.
And then go to the back of the store.
No, yeah. I don't go to the back of the store. I go 5 feet
there
away.
You are.
I go 5 feet away to the grapes. And when I come back, my cart's gone.
Huh.
And that happened again yesterday. It's like, why? Why? I'm going to bring some handcuffs with me next week. And just handcuff myself to that cart.
Maybe we should get you one like the little kids' carts that they have with the...
Like looks like a little
fire engine. Yeah.
Fire engine wheel
on it. Yeah, I could see you in at the Jewels.
I would love
at
that.
The Jewels.
I would love that.
Yours will actually have a siren.
I need to get somebody to push me around in it.
It works.
Yeah, you'll have a siren on yours, audible. Get out of my way. Gotta get to the milk.
I took my mom to the grocery store a few months ago. And, you know, she walks with a walker. So it's difficult for her to walk around in the grocery store. So she gets on one of these motorized little, you know, electric carts that they have. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about those scooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She gets in there, and I said, Mom, just stay in one place and tell me what you want, and I'll go get it, and I'll bring it back. No, I want to look at everything. She wants to inspect every bit of produce. She's going through, like, narrow aisles, bumping into everything, knocking everything over. It's like, Mom, you're knocking everything over. She's, like, almost hitting people. Well, they should have got out of my way. They see I'm in this cart. And there is my future, right there. There is me. 5 years from now, if that long. All right. So, cool night last night at the Museum of Broadcast Communications with Bobby Moynihan, formerly of Saturday Night Live. We had a nice Q&A. We're going to share that with you later on. We've had lots going on. We had a nice chat with Tyler Perry last week. What he says will be his final Madea movie is out this week and doing very well at the box office. We'll share that interview with you coming up later on. We've got the stars of Dear Evan Hansen. We're going to be visiting with us today on our theater segment. And we've got Mardi Gras around the corner and also Punchki Day around the corner. We're going to talk about both of those things on our Food Time show coming up later on. It's going to be a busy show today. That Geritol works. I don't care what anyone says.
They were out there. The only two original members of Kiss that are still in the band are Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley. I would have guessed them to be older for some reason. Gene Simmons is 69 years old, and Paul Stanley is 67. I would have guessed them to be in their near mid-70s. You know, then they can still rock and roll all night and party every day, as the song goes. Yeah, but they're all, the current band are Gene and Paul and Tommy Thayer, not the Bears broadcaster, and although that would be cool.
That would be awesome.
That would be cool. Tom Thayer was in the band. He's got the makeup on. Who would know, really? But that would be cool if that were happening. Eric Singer is now the fourth guy in the band, replacing Ace Frehley, who was one of the originals. Peter Criss was one of the originals. Eric Carr, Vinnie Vincent, and Mark St. John, that were all original band members. But a great show last night at the United Center. Big long show, and people are raving about it on the internet, giving their little reviews about it. They say that this will be their final tour. It's going to be their last time. They've been out rocking it, as they say. Although I couldn't sound whiter or nor more square right now.
They've been rocking it.
The band has been out rocking it now for 45 years, playing magnificent music. Just marvelous. 45 years, that's a lot of rock and roll.
That's a lot of travel, too.
That's a lot of, I suspect that that's probably what it is. That's why so many of these bands and performers like doing these Las Vegas residencies now. They can just stay in one place and they don't have to hit the road. Let people come and see them, which, you know, people are in droves. So, you know, they gave us a lot of good music through the years and a lot of entertainment. So whether they're done or whether they come back or whatever it is, there it was. I was at the Museum of Broadcast Communications last night and had a great time doing a Q&A. We had a nice hour-long talk with Bobby Moynihan, 9 years on Saturday Night Live. Some very memorable characters through the years, like Drunken Uncle is one of the most famous. He did, and I didn't know until last night, that he wrote that sketch that they did with Beyonce in the, you know, where they spoofed the Single Lady video, where it's Bobby Moynihan. Who else was it? It was Justin Timberlake and Andy Samberg dress up in the leotards like the Beyonce backup dancers in the video and spoof the whole thing. Bobby Moynihan wrote that. I never knew that. And he tells that story. You're going to hear it all coming up after 11 o'clock this morning. We'll play that back for you. We've got a lot of good stuff still to come for you, including our far-flung forecast for today, which is next. Also coming up in the next half hour, we'll be joined by my colleague from the WGN TV Morning News, one Mr. Larry Potash, joining us in just a little while to talk about the return of his very, very interesting series, Backstory. It's on tonight on WGN TV. If you're a fan of gangster stories, he's got a doozy, and he'll explain it all to us. Coming up,
some guy named Capone, I think.
Some guy named Capone and some guy named Ness. Yeah, I'm going to get that Al Capone.
I'm going to get that guy, dear.
Yeah. See? It's the wrong gangster, but it's the only gangster voice I got.
This is Biggie talking, see?
News is sponsored by Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo.com. Here's Dave Schwann.
And police are investigating a shooting at what is being called a private club that took place in the South Shore neighborhood this morning. Six people were shot there, all with non-life-threatening injuries. This happening near East 79th and Exchange Avenue. A hit-and-run driver struck eight people and killed two during Mardi Gras celebrations in New Orleans yesterday. Police have arrested the son of a New Orleans police officer, Deshante Tony, after the accident. Witnesses said he was driving drunk. Mission accomplished for the new crew capsule from SpaceX. It arrived at the International Space Station on time yesterday. No one was aboard, however. It was the Dragon capsule that was launched on its first test flight, just a robot-like figure. but arrived with three astronauts aboard the space station looking on as it docked early this morning.
You make it sound like a Google delivery.
Like a drone.
It arrived on time.
It arrived on time. Yeah. Your package has arrived. Yeah. This is the first, it could be the first design for crew spacecraft to pull up in 8 years. And I don't know if you saw the video of it being lifted off overnight into the early morning hours.
Did not.
That was beautiful.
I bet.
It was beautiful.
I want to go into space.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
I won't do the polar plunge and jump in the lake, but I want to go into space.
Which is even more dangerous than going into the frigid water.
Yeah. I want to go into space.
We could talk about this for a long time, but you probably, when you were at the Space Center doing your first man interviews, didn't have time to go to the flight simulator of what it was like when if you were lifting off in the space shuttle.
I would love that.
Talk about a ride. That one, that'll give you a ride.
I want to go.
That would be, well, talk to...
I want to do our show from there, from space. I want you and me and Andy to be in a space capsule doing the show.
Rocket Man.
And about 5 minutes into the show, we can just say, Houston, we've had a problem.
We have a major problem.
Chicago, get me the heck out of here.
Ronnie will not be quiet. He's pointing out every star and constellation along the way. Tell him to be quiet.
And wondering what the serial number is on the microphones. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
A rough afternoon yesterday for the Blackhawks, losing to the Kings in Los Angeles, 6-3. Hawks were down 3-0 before they even blinked. They didn't make a comeback, but didn't have enough left in the tank. The Hawks will wrap up their three-game road set tonight at San Jose. Chris Bowden with your pregame at 8:30. John and Troy, the call at 9 on WGN and WGNradio.com. Blackhawks will start the day 7 points behind the Wild for the final Western Conference playoff spot. Cactus League Baseball coming up this afternoon. The White Sox and the Cubs in Mesa. We have it for you starting at 2 o'clock with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson right here on WGN. Yesterday, the White Sox over the Rockies 10-6. Cubs lost to the Brewers 7-4. Bulls host the Atlanta Hawks this afternoon at the United Center. The Bulls and Hawks combining for the third highest scoring game in NBA history. That was Friday night in Atlanta. 168-161 Bulls in four overtimes. Zach LaVine had 47 in that game, but was outdone by Atlanta's Trae Young, who poured in 49. College basketball yesterday was Indiana over number 6 Michigan State, 63-62. Iowa lost at home to Rutgers, 86-72. Wisconsin and Purdue with easy victories yesterday. Loyola takes a share of the Missouri Valley Conference title with a second straight year with a win over Bradley, 81-68. Evansville over Valpo, 65-63. Illinois State losing at Southern Illinois, 72-63. And UIC a winner at Detroit, 80-71. Northwestern taking on Illinois tonight. Pregame 5:15. The tip with Dave Ennett and Joey Meyer at 5:30 on WGN. The Wildcats have lost 9 straight games. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats and White Sox baseball. Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic. Our expressways and tollways moving well. We still have a problem downtown on the Magnificent Mile, right in the middle of it, actually. Michigan Avenue at Ohio Street. An accident there. Also on the north side, Belmont is closed in both directions between Broadway and Sheridan until 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon for construction crane removal. CTA rerouting number 77, 151, and 156 buses.
Those are good ones. Those are my favorite numbers.
Oh, I used to ride the 151 all the time.
I've got those in my fantasy league.
You had a CTA fantasy league?
Yeah. Just started today, as a matter of fact.
Nice. Try to predict who's going to throw up on what bus.
Yeah, which one will show up on time, which one will be there first, right. Which one blocks the left lane while it's trying to get the passengers off. You know, you get all those things.
Crazy person is going to be a completely empty bus, and a crazy person comes sit right next to you.
Exactly.
Yep, that's happened to me.
It's all part of the rules.
You are the crazy person that sits
No. I was sane and civil compared to this person that was next to me.
Shouldn't be so judgmental.
I was called names.
I shouldn't be. I'm talking about me.
I was called names.
Well, that I understand.
I'll put it that way.
That I get.
For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. I know you will be calling me names after I read this forecast for March 3rd.
I'm hoping this is going to be our last blast, though.
I'm hoping it is, too. I'm hoping it is, too.
It's March 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And according to the Tom Skilling forecast, tomorrow is going to be at least 30 degrees below normal.
Oh, jeez.
30 degrees below normal.
Yikes.
But we'll just start with today. Cloudy, colder, some sporadic snow showers, and temperatures in the 20s, but then they're going to be falling by the evening hours. Overnight, very cold, lows ranging 5 below inland, 5
actual,
above downtown.
Actual temperatures?
Actual air temperatures, yes.
Not wind chill.
Not wind chill, no. But the wind chills could be minus 15. We have a wind chill advisory going in effect at 9 o'clock tonight. It will end at 9 tomorrow morning. And for tomorrow morning, partly sunny, sub-zero temperatures in certain areas, a high tomorrow of only 11, and wind chills down to 15 below. We have 18 now at O'Hare, 20 at Midway. Flossmoor has 22, Chicago's lakefront 20.
I don't know why I'm thinking that this is going to be the last blast, because St. Patrick's Day is, what, like a couple of weeks away, right? I think it's 2 weeks
from today. Yeah, it's 2 weeks from today. It's 2 weeks from today,
and
yeah.
The Southside Parade is 2 weeks from today. It's actually on St. Patrick's Day. The St. Patrick's Day Parade, with the exception of maybe 1 or 2 years, is always ridiculously cold
horrendous.
In the parade.
Horrendous, yeah. And I can remember one St. Patrick's Day. It was not only very cold, we had snow and freezing rain on the same day. Everything at once.
I remember my overall memories of being in the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and I've been in them forever, is it's ridiculously cold. Was it 1 or 2 years? I know it was 1 year. And fairly recently, it's like 80 degrees for the St. Patrick's
Day. We had just recently, yes, we had some very warm days out there. Yeah, yeah, never know.
I was out there in my shamrock bikini. Speedo.
Was that where everybody
was wearing a bikini on another occasion?
You were mistaken for Tom Skilling out there.
That's when I tell people I am Tom Skilling. Hey, guys, how do you like my Speedo?
Or you can go Billy Joel.
Or you can go as Billy Joel,
yes,
yeah.
Right.
Dewey, you had a lot of people fooled over that one.
Yes, we did.
Well, it is about as cold today where we are headed for our far-flung forecast today as it is here, because our far-flung forecast takes us to West Branch, Iowa.
Is this the official opening of the far-flung forecast?
Yes, it is. West Branch,
snuck
Iowa.
Snuck that in on me today.
Has a population of 2,300. And 22.
What's the location again? I didn't hear what you said.
West Branch, Iowa.
It's in Iowa.
eastern portion of Iowa.
Okay.
Goes back to 1869 and is named for the community being on the west branch of the creek that runs through there.
The what?
The creek.
The creek?
The creek. The Wapensana Creek.
The creek.
Got to go fishing in that creek.
All of a sudden, Trawny's on the Waltons. He's one of the Waltons all of a sudden.
Hey, Grandpa, I'm going to go over to the creek.
Good night, Trawny.
Good night, Trawny.
Good night. Good night, Andy Joe. Good night,
Andy Joe. You just combined two of your favorite old sitcoms.
The Wapensana Creek is where the West Branch, Iowa, is located. Mm-hmm. But we bring up West Branch because it is the birthplace of a president.
No.
Herbert Hoover was born there. And it was on this date in 1931 that President Herbert Hoover signed a bill that was an act of Congress making the Star-Spangled Banner our official national anthem.
How about that?
In 1931 on this date.
How about that?
It had been more or less the national anthem for a number of years. In 1916, President Wilson signed an executive order, but then Congress took it a step further, made it an official act, and President Hoover signed it into law. Wow. So from that day to this, the Star-Spangled Banner has been our official national anthem. And West Branch, Iowa, has a temperature of 6 above today.
I would have been. It's good that they made it the official national anthem, because the other song that they were thinking about then, Camptown Races, that would not have been as effective in front of like at the start of the Super Bowl.
That would not have worked.
Especially the doo-dah, doo-dahs.
Sing the song, doo-dah. No. Whitney Houston, doo-dah, doo-dah.
No, it would not have worked. Not have worked at all.
That was right in the middle of the Depression.
Yes, right. 1931.
Wow.
And a couple of years later, he's soundly defeated by Franklin Roosevelt.
Right.
So But 1931, March 3rd, the Star Spangled Banner became our official national anthem. Not "I Want to Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day" by Kiss.
That President Hoover made a good vacuum cleaner, too. I don't care what anybody says. For my money.
And he was, until Jimmy Carter, he was the longest person to serve in retirement after leaving office.
Huh.
He left office in 1933 and died in 1964.
Wow.
So 31 years into retirement.
How many has it been for Jimmy Carter now?
Let's see, 1981.
When did Reagan start? 1980 or 81?
Took office January in 81. January of 81, yeah.
Okay. Right.
So 38 years? Well, 38 years, so longer than Herbert Hoover, yeah.
And Jimmy Carter, you know, still kicking, God bless him.
I know.
Still building houses.
He's still building houses with Habitat for Humanity, number one. He just went through a bout of, was it brain cancer?
A very serious bout of cancer, yes.
And it appears to be in remission or beating it, because I've seen him at public events and he looks great. And also he was at I forget what the professional sporting event was. I think he was at a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an Atlanta team?
Atlanta Hawks.
Atlanta Hawks. I think it was an Atlanta Hawks game. And they caught him and his wife, Rosalind, on Kiss Cam.
Oh, yeah.
And he laid a big one. He nice. Laid a big wet kiss on
right on Rosalind.
He did not hesitate for a second. Like, God bless you.
Yeah, I was watching Carter. These videos of the Miracle on Ice and the gold medal we celebrated last weekend was the 39th anniversary of the gold medal game. And I was watching later on in that clip that the president, of course, calls the winning coach and the winning captain on this little tiny phone with a cord on it, and everybody's like, what the heck is that?
Tiny phone with a cord.
Yeah, but you could hear, you know, he was calling from the White House to Lake Placid, New York, to congratulate the guys on their
cool.
win.
That's cool. Yeah. Very cool. Corded phone.
What is that?
What's that?
What's that thing coming out of the phone?
Grandpa, what's that? Why does the phone have a tail? All right.
A party line?
When we come back from the break, Larry Potash from the WGN Morning News joins us to talk about the second season of his evening series, Backstory. That's next. Coming up later in the program today, we will share with you the conversation that I had with former SNL star Bobby Moynihan. He was at the Museum of Broadcast Communication last night for their ongoing series, Conversations in Comedy. And we had a fantastic conversation of Bobby talking about his days starting with SNL, what it was like working on SNL, his favorite guests, some of his favorite characters that he's brought us, Drunken Uncle. We got a little backstory on that. We definitely got the backstory on the famous Beyonce video that he did with Justin Timberlake and Andy Samberg, and, of course, Beyonce and Paul Rudd also. It turned out, I never knew this until we did the Q&A yesterday, that Bobby was the one who wrote that sketch, and it almost didn't get on the air. It was, kind of turned down by everybody. That, you know, the process that they go through in deciding what's going to be on the show was turned down, turned down, turned down, turned down, pretty much until Justin Timberlake said that he wanted to do it. And then, you know, suddenly they made it happen, and it's become a classic segment on SNL now. So we talked about that. We've talked about a lot of things. We're going to share that with you coming up after 11 o'clock this morning. Also after 11 o'clock this morning, we are going to talk with Tyler Perry, who's hanging up his Madea wig. He says that after this movie and after this tour that he's doing right now, that he will no longer do the Madea character. So we'll share that interview with you next weekend. By the way, Tyler Perry will be in Chicago at the Erie Crown Theater to do his what he says will be his final Madea shows. In the interview that I did with him, he talked about how the Madea character pretty much got started at the old Regal Theater on 79th Street in Chicago. And he said that the only way that he would bring Madea back is if he was able to do a couple of weeks at the Regal Theater. I have been in touch with the Regal Theater since then. I wanted to make sure that they knew that's what Tyler Perry said.
that he would like to come back and, you know, do the Medea character at the Regal Theater. It's in the process of renovation. This beautiful old theater is in the process of renovation. You know, I grew up in the South Shore neighborhood. When I was a kid in that neighborhood, the Regal at that time was called the Avalon Theater. It was the very first movie theater I ever went to. Very first theater that this movie critic, probably ever saw a movie. We didn't watch movies at home back then. So we would go on Saturday afternoon, we'd see the matinees, we'd see the cartoons, whatever it was that they were playing. But we would go to the theater and, you know, see these movies at this magnificent, beautiful palace of a theater, like so many of the neighborhood theaters were, just absolute gorgeous palaces. The North Side has them. The suburbs have them on the South Side and South Shore. It was the Avalon Theater right at 79th and Stony Island Avenue. And so I'm going to be going back there this coming Thursday. I'm going to be doing what we call the Around Town feature on the TV Morning News. And we're going to go back to the Avalon Regal Theater, see what it's like. It's in a state of renovation. We're going to talk with the owner. We're going to show this magnificent, magnificent old theater that Kanye West, by the way, has pledged $1 million to aid in its restoration.
There's been a lot of music history made at that theater,
too. At the Avalon Theater, yeah. I mean, I used to go there as a kid to see movies. But I've gone back several times since when it became the Regal Theater for concerts. I saw Patti LaBelle there, and it was amazing. I saw, you know, back in my smooth jazz days, there were some jazz shows that I hosted there and went back there. It's a great place. Have you ever been to the
No. No, I haven't, but I've seen pictures, and I know that, as I say, a lot of musical history there. I believe there B.B. King did a historic concert that the old Chess Records recorded in the 60s, and some of the great jazz singers like Joe Williams got their start there in that area.
Well, that may have been at the original Regal Theater.
At the original, yes.
Yeah, there was the original Regal Theater, which I believe was on South Parkway, I think 47th and South Parkway. And then that closed, and when the Avalon finally closed, I want to say it was in the early 70s, mid-70s maybe, then they changed the name of the Avalon to the Regal. And now the current owner of this theater, who's trying to bring it back, he's going to call it the Avalon Regal. He's going to bring back the original name along with the Regal. But that's been a showcase for, I mean, you know, it was a vaudeville house in the beginning. You know, the Dave Clark Five performed there?
Did they really?
Well, you know, during their heyday, they would go around and perform at different theaters. The Dave Clark Five performed at the Avalon Theater. You'll love this. The Three Stooges appeared at the Avalon Theater. I didn't see them, but I've read a lot that, you know, of who appeared there back when it was, you know, they would show a movie and the stars of the movie would make an appearance. Jerry Lewis appeared at the Avalon Theater on 79th Street. And I remember, you know, we used to go see all the Jerry Lewis movies when they were coming out. We'd go to the Avalon Theater, my brothers and I. And, you know, of course, I was the youngest of four, so they would try to ditch me. You know, oh, do we have to take Dean? Do we have to? Okay.
And you'd get to the box office. We don't know him.
They would ditch me.
He doesn't have any
it's
money.
It's a dark theater. They ditch me. It's like today, you know, as a movie critic, I see most movies by myself. That's how I started watching movies by myself, because my brothers.
You're just getting in practice.
My brothers would ditch me in the theaters. I'm sitting there watching Pit and the Pendulum and all these scary movies by myself. No wonder I am the way I am.
All those, the one with Vincent Price, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. I remember one time, I don't know how old I was. I must have been maybe 6 or 8 years old or something. We had gone to see some scary movies. Maybe it was Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something. I was way too young, sitting by myself because my brothers ditched me. And I remember screaming at the top of my lungs. I ran out of the theater, and I sat in the lobby the whole time waiting for my brother.
Scared to death.
Scared to death. Poor little Deedee. Oh. I'm sure my brothers thought it was hilarious.
They laughed all the way home.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm still the youngest, and they're older than me, and payback ain't going to be pretty for them in their golden years.
We're all in our golden years.
That's
now,
very true.
Young man.
Well, if you haven't guessed by now, this incessant rambling that we're doing is because we cannot find our guest, Larry Potash from the WGN-TV Morning News, who's supposed to be on with us. And nothing, right?
And nothing.
Producer Tom is trying and trying and trying.
Is he doing the polar plunge?
I doubt it. I'm guessing he's doing these 40 winks.
Oh, yeah, sounds like it.
That would be my guess.
Of a possibility.
So yeah. I'm going to give him no end of grief about this when I see him tomorrow morning for stiffing us for the show today.
Just like your brothers ditched you, right?
That's the story of my life. I'm telling you what. Anyway, Larry's show is a backstory show. Season 2 starts tonight at 8 o'clock on WGN. And I hope you show up for it the way he just showed up to be here with us today. Jeez. Don't stiff somebody for a guest appearance like this. Quick break. Good news, Schwani. We found Larry Potash.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Larry, are you there?
Yeah, Larry Potash. Larry Potash here. On the phone.
Wow, that's a
boy.
Really,
you've got a clean connection
really
there.
Good
for
connection
your phone.
On the
that's
phone.
That's terrific.
Yeah, I got iPhone X. Good phone.
Larry, you have your big backstory show that's on tonight at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8:30. It's on actually, the big number 9.
I think it's actually 8 o'clock.
Oh, sorry. I don't know. I don't show up for things usually.
That's yeah. You're telling me. Okay.
Well, going to be showing clips from The Untouchables. Mainly just that. Little commentary, maybe. It's the backstory.
Tonight at 8 on WGN.
Boy, what an incisive interview.
TV. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, yeah. You got it.
When you can't get the real Larry Potash, I say fake Larry Potash is just as good.
You got to send that in for awards.
I think we may do that with all guests from now on.
I think that's good.
Instead of having actual guests on the show, we'll just have producer Tom pretend to be...
That he's the guest.
Yeah.
That he's the person.
Yeah. How are you? How are you with the Bobby Moynihan impersonation?
I don't know. He's
that sounds like Bobby Moynihan. So like so far,
I could do a drunk uncle. Maybe I could do some of his characters.
Yeah,
maybe.
Give me a little drunk uncle, right?
Oh, jeez. You're putting me on the spot.
All you have to do is sound like Otis Campbell.
Yeah.
That's more like Foster Brooks.
Sorry. Old school drunk character. All right. I think we're going to do that from now on. Instead of actual guests, producer Tom Hush impersonating. So we could really have anybody on the show now.
Good point.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. So join us in the next half hour when we're joined by President Trump coming here where Steve Cochran celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20. On 7:20, WGN Chicago smart speaker users say play WGN radio on TuneIn. The news sponsored by American Weathermakers. And here is the real Dave Schwann.
We have cloudy skies, 18 at O'Hare. A wind chill advisory goes into effect at 9 tonight, and we'll have the full forecast in a moment. Police need your help in finding two young women missing for a week. Gary, Indiana police say Jessica Flores and Melina Cantrell were last seen on a Facebook Live post last week on Sunday. They were missing the following day and last seen in Gary. Authorities say Flores borrowed her boyfriend's car, which was later found abandoned in South Chicago Heights. It had some fire damage and some of her belongings inside. Flores is the mother of 6 children. 6 people were shot at what is being called a private club in the South Shore neighborhood today. It happened near East 79th and Exchange Avenue. All 6 have non-life-threatening injuries. Police have no suspects. A spokesperson in New Orleans says the man arrested in a fatal crash that killed 2 people and injured 6 others is believed to have been impaired at the time. Andy Cunningham, the police spokesperson, identified the suspect as 32-year-old Tashante Tony and said he was a police officer's son. Cunningham says that will not change the department's investigation, which he said will be open and transparent. According to the news release, yesterday was his birthday, and police are waiting the results of a blood alcohol test. Senator Bernie Sanders is kicking off his 2020 presidential run. He did so yesterday in his home area of Brooklyn and spoke to a crowd of supporters at his alma mater, Brooklyn College.
We are going to transform this country and finally create an economy and a government which works for all of us, not just the 1%.
Sanders brings his campaign to Chicago tonight. A 22-year-old woman has died after being shot sitting in a home in the Inglewood neighborhood. Police say she was in the 7200 block of South May at a home there when the shots were fired through the window. The woman was hit in the head and died at the scene. And now with Community Corners, here's Ryan Burrow.
If you go to the Berghoff restaurant in downtown Chicago, displayed proudly behind the bar is Chicago's first liquor license received following Prohibition in 1933. Inside of the restaurant, you can also see a picture of Herman Berghoff holding the first liquor license issued. He died unexpectedly months later. I'm Ryan Burrow with Community Corners on WGN Radio.
And we'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
This is way of correction. Larry Potash's show, Backstory, is actually on at 8:30 tonight.
It is 8:30?
Yeah,
you got it. You got it. Sports, traffic, and weather next.
Somebody else just texted in, where's Drew Carey when we need him? If you'll remember, we had a show many years ago where every single guest on the show canceled. And Drew Carey...
I don't remember that.
The real Drew Carey happened to be listening. At that time, WGN was piped into the closed-circuit audio system at Walt Disney World. Remember, we used to have that partnership with the Walt Disney World and all that?
Yes.
So we were piped in on their TV channels. And Drew Carey was there listening to all of my guests canceled, and he called in. And I thought it was somebody faking, pretending to be Drew Carey.
But it was really him.
But it was really...
He saved the day.
He did.
Maybe he's listening again today.
Yeah, we could have used him about 10 minutes ago. But we don't need him now. We've got... Tom, producer Tom, is our all-purpose guest.
He's our fake guest.
Yeah, he's going to be our fake guest. But Larry's show, Backstory, is on 8:30 tonight.
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Now, the playoffs seeming further and further away for the Blackhawks. They'll come into tonight's game with the Sharks 7 points behind Minnesota for the final wildcard spot in the West. Duncan Keith knows there's no time to waste from here on out.
Yeah, for sure. There's still games left, but, you know, it's definitely frustrating. I mean, time's ticking here, and each game that goes by, it's a wasted opportunity. It was a big 2 points today that we missed out on, and it just seems like there's, you know, the desperation level to play the right way has to be there.
By the way, that was actually Duncan Keith. Hawks lost to the Kings yesterday, and tonight they're back in action, as mentioned, in San Jose. Chris Bowden has your pregame at 8:30. John and Troy, the call at 9 o'clock on WGN and WGNradio.com.
If you need any sports voices impersonated, producer Tom Hush is now substituting for all actual celebrities that we had on the show before.
I think we also should mention that that really is Andy doing sports.
It really is me.
Tom.
That really was Duncan Keith. And, Ed Farmer could be a guest today because the White Sox, and they'll be playing the Cubs today in Mesa. And we're going to have the game for you right here on WGN as Ed and DJ will have the call starting at 2 o'clock.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that'll happen this afternoon. Also, later this afternoon, Northwestern taking on Illinois, pregame at 5:15. Tip with Dave Ennett and Joey Meyer at 5:30 on WGN and WGNradio.com. Wildcats trying to snap a 9-game losing streak. And the Bulls hosting Atlanta this afternoon at the United Center. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, I'm Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, things moving very well on our expressways and tollways. One item in the Lakeview neighborhood we've been reporting on in the morning here. Belmont between Broadway and Sheridan, closed in both directions until 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, with the CTA rerouting three of Dean's favorite bus routes, 77,
love it.
151,
love it.
And 156.
Love it, love it,
bingo.
Love it.
And, we do have one more item.
Yeah.
We do have one more item to report.
Wonder what that could be.
Well, despite the cold temperatures, the frigidity of the wind chill.
You would think not a single soul would want to go outside.
One
person.
Not one person in the world would want to go out on a day like this.
Well, you are wrong, Mr. Richards.
The Maxwell Street Market has closed displays between Roosevelt and Harrison until 3 o'clock this afternoon.
I can't believe it.
It can't be
and
true.
And I'm not making that up. I'm not making that up. We have the official word here.
Okay.
So despite all of what is going on with the polar plunge, the potentially record low temperature setting temperatures.
Bernie Sanders getting ready to do the polar plunge later today.
I will take the polar plunge.
He took the polar plunge into the election.
For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, a cloudy day today, colder, a highs in the 20s, and then temperatures will drop by the evening hours. Very cold tonight. Lows of 5 below, well inland, to 5 above downtown. Also, a wind chill advisory going into effect tonight. It'll be around until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And for Monday, partly sunny, extremely cold, sub-zero temperatures that begin the day in some places. And a high of only 11 above tomorrow, wind chills down to minus 15. We have 19 at O'Hare, 20 at Midway. River Forest has 19, and Chicago's Lakefront, 21.
And Mike Hammernick will join us in a second for an update.
And he can talk about all of these blustery winds and temperatures. We have a wind chill index right now of 8 above, and the Lake Michigan water temperature is up. It's up to 35 now. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Before the news, we're scheduled to talk with one Mr. Larry Potash from the WGN-TV Morning News. My friend who I've known for 20 years, who I sit next to every single morning. Scheduled to be on the show to talk about, come on the show to talk about his evening series, Backstory, Season 2, that begins tonight at 8:30 on WGN-TV. And we can't find Larry. Tried all of the numbers. We can't find him. So, and it got us thinking about the time when we had all of our guests cancel one morning. Schwanny, you don't remember that? You might have. Schwanny, you may have not even been here.
I don't think I was here doing Sundays regularly.
What time did you start doing the Sunday? When did you start?
On a regular basis, yeah. It was right at the end of 2010 into 2011. So maybe it was Don Norton.
No, you know what? This was way before you because this was in May of the year 2000.
Oh, wow.
That's how far back this goes.
Oh, that far back.
We had a full lineup of guests set for the show, and one by one, within like the first 30 minutes before the show started, we kept getting cancellation calls.
What did you do to them to make them mad at you?
I didn't do anything. we've never had every single guest on the show canceled, which, you know, it's not that big of a deal because we open up the phone lines and we could still do shows. But I just thought it was funny that everybody canceled. So I started off the show saying, begging celebrities to call our hotline. If you're a celebrity out there, call the hotline. So our listeners, hilariously, are calling in and doing impersonations of celebrities. Rocky Balboa called, Mae West. Jimmy Cagney, all the people were calling and doing impersonations of celebrities. And then in my ear, my producer at the time, Scott Cameron, in my ear tells me, Dean, Drew Carey is on line 5. So I'm thinking it's somebody doing a Drew Carey impersonation, right? Can't be the real Drew Carey. And I said, okay, well, we'll get to him in a second. I made this person wait because I thought it was somebody doing an impersonation. I made this, you know, so-called Drew Carey wait forever on the phone while other people were ahead of him. So I made him wait. And then my producer gets in my ear and goes, I think it's the real Drew Carey calling. So I say back to him, why would the real Drew Carey be listening to WGN on Sunday morning? That can't be the real Drew Carey. And this is what it sounded like from there, May of the year 2000.
And let's see, this is Drew, it says, on line 1.
Hi, Dean, it's Drew Carey.
Get out of here.
I swear to God, I can't believe they kept me on hold for so long when you're looking for a guest. I'm in Disney World.
This is really Drew Carey.
Yeah, it's really Drew Carey.
Get out of here.
I'm in Disney World.
Why I kept you on hold so long? Because I thought you were somebody goofing on us.
No, I'm at Disney World. I'm watching your show on TV. I guess you're owned by Disney.
Well, no, actually, we're not owned by Disney.
Now, you know how in hotel rooms they have radio stations?
Yeah.
WGN. WCBS is on another station.
Yeah, at the Disney Resorts. We're on the television system there.
Yeah.
And you're watching
the
WGN channel, and you have us turned on, and you heard about our dilemma.
Yeah, I had you on while I was packing, and I heard you had a guest canceled, and I thought, well, I got nothing to do.
when I said if there are any celebrities listening,
I was already on hold when he said that.
Yeah, it said Drew on the phone line. I thought, well, you know, somebody's goofing around saying that they're Drew Carey. Someone's going to call up and do a bad Drew Carey impersonation.
Oh, no. No, it's me.
Holy smokes. This is very cool.
See, so I'm going to make up for all the celebrities.
I love your show.
Thank you. Well, yeah, especially now.
You
saved your ass.
You did. and there's that. Drew Carey's show is seen in syndication on our sister station, WGN Television.
Oh, no kidding.
Here in Chicago.
Oh, that's good.
It's on every night at 6:30. I watch it all the time. I've come to a couple of tapings of your show. That's how much I like
your
show.
Oh, heavy, don't you think?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
And you are, you're just like one of the hottest guys on ABC right now.
I was on during sweeps, couple of sweeps ago when I was on Geppetto and everything. I was on 6 hours of prime time.
Yeah, I mean, you're one of the...
I wonder if that was a record.
Besides Regis, I think you are probably the most seen person on ABC, right?
I beat Regis because he's only on for 3 hours. I was on 2 million. He's on 4 million that week.
So there you get a little idea. May of 2000. We talked for about a half an hour. We had a nice conversation. Talked about things going on in his career and all that stuff, but that was sort of the last time. Well, that day, all of our guests canceled. Actually, they called us and said, you know, that they can't make it on the show. So we're hoping everything's okay with Larry. The more I think about it, it's really unusual that he wouldn't answer any of his phones. So now I'm a little bit worried about him, to tell you the truth. Is everything okay? But we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll update the weather. Meteorologist Mike Hamernick is next. Tomorrow morning, sharing my one-on-one interview with Bobby Moynihan from Saturday Night Live. See the interview tomorrow morning, and you'll hear the interview in its entirety today at 11 over most of this same station. 11 o'clock, the radio interview with Bobby Moynihan. Tomorrow morning, we'll show it to you on the WGN TV Morning News. Speaking of TV, has been keeping us on top of this cold snap, which seems like a mild way to put what is about to happen to this weather, Mike Hamernick. Looks like we're going to go back down into the sub-freezing again.
Yeah, we'll be in the city back around zero again tonight. Outside of the city, where there's still some snow cover, Lake McHenry County, Northern DeKalb, and Kane County, it could be as cold as minus 10 on the thermometer tonight. And when you factor in the wind chills around minus 20 tomorrow morning when you head back to school and work on Monday. And a wind chill advisory has been posted by the National Weather Service for later tonight and into tomorrow morning. The best news I have, Dean, I think that's going to be the last wind chill advisory of the season.
Wow.
Maybe for 2018, because I think we'll be able to put that one to bed after Monday, because the temperatures will slowly moderate as the rest of the week wears on. But nothing real warm, unfortunately, in sight for the next 7 days as we remain in this winter-like pattern. But the coldest days are going to be the next three, today, tomorrow, and Tuesday, and then we'll start to break out of this a little bit. But it's going to be a very slow progression towards some more moderate brand of cold later on this week.
You're not saying that it's over with, though.
No. We've got, looks like, about 2 more weeks of winter to go. We've got cold this week. It gets a little active again over the weekend. Next weekend could be one or two systems to deal with that could bring some snow or rain our way. And then next week still looks chilly. Nothing like this week, though. It still looks chilly. But once we get past the 15th, we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. Looks like a major pattern change. The Arctic air retreats north to the North Pole, where it should be at this time of the year. And we get into a more normal type of weather pattern. And our normal high for today is 41 degrees, wow. Mid-40s to upper 40s by the time we reach the 15th. So I think we'll put together a string of some 40 and 50-degree weather in here, which will be nice, a nice change. We'll take that starting the third week in March and continuing thereon. So, yeah, we've got about another 2 weeks of this winter pattern before we see a big pattern change about 2 weeks down the road.
So it may not be too terrible for the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yeah, it doesn't look all that bad. You know, I call it the most volatile time of year for us here in Chicago because you think about St. Patrick's Day alone. We've had temperatures in the mid to upper 80s, and we've been buried in snow with 20-degree temperatures. So that's the type of weather we can have in March here. But, yeah, it looks like a more of a middle-of-the-road type, based on some of the climate models we're seeing, a middle-of-the-road type of St. Patrick's Day, maybe some 40s and maybe up around 50 if we get lucky by the middle of March.
No, that's not too bad because the downtown parade will be on the 16th, and the Southside parade is going to be on the 17th, actually on St. Patrick's Day. So hopefully we'll be more in the 40-ish range than like we have today. But as you say, this time of year, you just never know.
Yeah, it's the most volatile. It's the only month I think that we can see 80s and snow, and you know, perhaps back-to-back. So March is kind of a crazy month. And one travel note, Dean, there's some snow downstate. That snow's going to pass to our south, but it's headed east. Winter storm warnings are up for New York, Boston, and Philly as that storm heads in that direction. So there's going to be some travel troubles later today, tonight, and early tomorrow in the Northeast as far as air travel and ground travel, too. Quick note, that's going to be the travel troubles, but we're in pretty good shape here.
Yeah, okay. We'll keep everybody posted on all of those things. Just a quick note here while we're talking St. Patrick's Day. The group Aaron Moore, the guys who sings We're the Southside Irish, they're going to be in studio with us on the morning of St. Patrick's Day.
All right.
Yeah,
they're
always with us every year, so we're looking forward to that. Mike, have a great day today.
You too, Dean. Stay warm.
Meteorologist Mike Hamernick, a quick check of the news is coming up next, and then we'll get into our weekend theater segment talking to the stars of Dear Evan Hansen, the Tony Award-winning musical that's at the Nederlander Theater, formerly the Oriental right now. News is up next, sponsored by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. Here is Dave Schwann.
A 22-year-old woman is dead after being shot sitting in a home in the Englewood neighborhood early this morning. She was in the home in the 7200 block of South May when shots were fired through the window. She was hit in the head and died at the scene. No one is in custody. South Korea and the U.S. are eliminating their springtime military drills and replacing them with smaller exercises. This is part of efforts to support diplomacy aimed at resolving the North Korean nuclear crisis, that decision announced by both countries today. Environmentalists are praising Governor Pritzker's proposal for a 5-cent tax on all plastic bags used at checkouts across Illinois. But not all shoppers are excited about that prospect. Pritzker says the tax could reduce waste and raise revenue. The state's budget proposal says the tax would generate up to $23 million. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, it's if sports you like, sports you're going to get here on WGN today. We start with White Sox baseball. The White Sox facing the Cubs in Mesa. Ed Farmer, Darren Jackson, have your call starting at 2 o'clock here on WGN. Then at 5:15, college basketball. Northwestern looking to snap a 9-game losing skid. They'll be in Champaign to face the Fighting Illini. Dave Ennett and Joey Meyer have the action for you starting at 5:30 on WGN and WGNradio.com. How much would you pay? Well, don't wait. There's more. The Blackhawks will wrap up their 3-game road trip with a game at San Jose. Hawks begin the day 7 points behind the Wild for the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Hawks try to bounce back from a 6-3 loss to the Kings yesterday. Tonight's pregame will start at 8:30. Chris Bowden and John, with Chris Bowden, that is, John and Troy have the call at 9 on WGN and WGNradio.com. Bulls will take on the Atlanta Hawks today, finishing up their home-and-home weekend series with a game at the UC. Teams wore out the scoreboard the last time they met when the Bulls beat the Hawks Friday in Atlanta, 168-161 in 4 overtimes, the third highest scoring game in NBA history. Among the college basketball action yesterday, congratulations to Loyola, clinching a share of the Missouri Valley Conference title. Second straight season for the Ramblers. They get a win over Bradley yesterday, 81-68. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, a couple of slow places. First on the Eisenhower, slowing up from Route 390 to the old post office inbound, about a 35-minute trip on the Eisenhower on in, 20 minutes from Mannheim into downtown, and slowing on the Kennedy, 25 minutes now from O'Hare to downtown, 15 minutes from Montrose on in. The express lanes, an 8-minute ride. Other than that, things are moving well on our expressways and tollways. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Cloudy, windy, cold today. Some sporadic snow showers. Highs in the 20s, and then temperatures will fall later today. Very cold overnight tonight. Lows of 5 below, well inland to 5 above downtown. And a wind chill advisory going into effect tonight, running through 9 tomorrow morning. For Monday, partly sunny, very cold, especially for early March. Sub-zero temperatures begin the day. A high of only 11 above tomorrow. Ooh. Wind chills as low as minus 15. Ooh. That's the truth. That's the truth. I'm not exaggerating.
I'm not doubting that.
I know. I know. 19 above at O'Hare right now. Midway 20. Addison has 19. Chicago's Lakefront 21. Our Polar Plunge friends off the North Avenue Beach, as we speak, are dealing with Lake Michigan water temperatures of 35.
I guess that people have been doing the Polar Plunge. I saw it on TV about a half an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people are in funny costumes jumping in the water.
Oh, they're doing...
I thought you're supposed to be like in a bathing suit.
Bathing suit, shorts. If you look at their website, everybody's just wearing shorts and
summer
a t-shirt.
Summer apparel. I can go out there dressed like a bunny rabbit.
When I was at the store yesterday, no one stole my cart, but... I was at the store, and there was a person walking around in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
The wind was pretty sharp yesterday, too.
Oh, there's what? Crazy kids.
Oh, well, the wind chill is 8 above right now.
Were they young?
Not really. Not really. They weren't old like us.
Pardon me.
But, you know, I'd say 40.
It's not unusual to see like a 20-year-old running around.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no. This person.
No coat and shorts.
Sure, sure. No, this person was, I'd say 40-ish. Ooh. 40-ish.
Okay.
So, shorts and a t-shirt. But you know what? At the same time, I say, bring it on. You bring the warmer weather. The sooner the warmer weather shows up, the better.
Yeah, so. Hey, and you know, we need people like that to keep the urgent care medical places in business. It's good for their economy.
Well, there was one right down the street. Yeah, so
that's good.
He might have been there 5-10 minutes later on.
They're crazy kids.
I'm Dave Schwann.
Don't put on a coat.
I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and these are the stories that matter on 720 WGN.
And while you're at it, go cut your hair, too. Man, what a great experience it was to see dear Evan Hansen again here in Chicago now. The Niederlander Theater, formerly the Oriental on Randolph Street, is such a powerful musical about a teenager, very socially awkward, isolated teenager who runs into all kinds of difficulty. I don't want to give too much away of the story, but runs into all kinds of bullies and unusual types of other teenagers in high school that... causes and reveals a web of lies that he gets caught in. And the story deals with this the sense of isolation that a lot of kids feel, a lot of people in general feel, where they just feel that they are alone. They feel like they're the only one. They feel like that if they disappeared off the face of the earth, nobody would even know. It deals with all of that awkwardness and very difficult time of it being in high school, but also it deals with topics of suicide and parenting and so many issues. Really, you know, on the surface, pretty heavy issues, but dealt with so beautifully and so touchingly with these beautiful songs and these wonderful performances that they've brought to Chicago. Starring as Evan Hansen in this production is young actor Ben Levy Ross, who joins the touring company of Dear Evan Hansen from the Broadway cast, where he made his Broadway debut.
His mom in the production is played by Jessica Phillips, who is one of Broadway's leading ladies over the last several years in Leap of Faith and Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and Jesus Christ Superstar and the Scarlet Pimpernel. The list of her credits go on and on. None of them a loaf of bread, I might add. they are here in Chicago with Dear Evan Hansen until March the 10th. But don't worry if you haven't been able to go and see it, because it's going to be coming back to Chicago next July, July 7th through September 27th. So it'll be here for a while next time, 12 weeks, at the Niederlander Theater again. And tickets for that return engagement are on sale right now. Sat down with Ben, Levy Ross, and Jessica, as a matter of fact, on Friday, and we talked about the power of this show.
I mean, every night it's just when I deliver the final monologue in the show, where Evan says, maybe someday there's going to be another kid who's standing in this spot looking out at the trees feeling so alone. I mean, that just kills me every night, because I'm going to different states and cities every week, and I know there is another kid standing there feeling so alone.
Or hundreds of other kids.
Yeah. who are maybe just in the audience that day.
Right.
And that is so special. And I feel like our show so beautifully destigmatizes mental health. And it starts a conversation, and it starts a dialogue with parents and with kids about all of this, about what suicide is. Some people, you know, don't even want to bring up the word suicide, or don't even want to bring up the word anxiety or depression. And we're in a time where we have to talk about that. And our show, I think, does that in a really special way.
Yeah, in a real tangible way. What kind of feedback do you get? You must get mail or reaction from people in the audience, backstage, as you leave the theater, from people who can really relate to Evan Hansen.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I get a lot of parents, a lot of single moms who want to tell me that they see themselves in Heidi and Evan's mom, and in the relationships that they see between parents and their kids on stage. And I think, again, the show does a beautiful job of allowing us to step inside the relationships of these parents and children, and who are navigating social media and a digital landscape, and relationships in broken families, and the efforts that we are making to see each other and connect with each other and be on the same page and love each other through these these sort of internal challenges. It's very moving to have parents come in and say, I came here because my daughter wanted to come, and I didn't expect to like it. And what happened was that I cried the whole time, or I laughed and cried, because I feel so connected to these relationships, and it's so much like what I'm feeling trying to raise my teenagers in this in this day and age, in this digital age.
Yeah, it's one of the beautiful things that how the show stays with you for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. You enjoy the show, you had a good time as you're walking out, talking with your friends. Did you like it? I like this, I like that. But really, for a couple of days, so many of the things that you just talked about stayed with me, and especially what you said about social media. Mm-hmm. And the significance that it plays in this movie, sort of underlined by Lady Gaga on Jimmy Kimmel the other night. Mm-hmm. Talking about the rumored romance between Bradley Cooper now, and starting off her comments saying that social media is the toilet of the internet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which kind of plays a little bit into the subplot of what's going on here.
Absolutely. I think Steven Levinson, our playwright, uses social media as a tool to enhance, If we were looking at plays before social media was created, the immediacy of what social media does to relationships is something that was never used before. And this tool shows how it can be a positive thing, how Evan can sort of be seen finally in this world, and then how it all comes crashing down, when social media tears it all to shreds at the end. It's not social media, it's the humans behind the social media, yeah. But right. Using that as a tool.
Still having that tool here, but you know, it's relatable in so many ways that, you know, I thought, well, when I was a kid and felt like I was the awkward and odd one, I could relate to what you're talking about. I can't even imagine what it would be like for a kid now.
Right.
To have all of those same feelings that are so relatable, plus social media
right.
hammering over his or her head.
Right, and exactly. And so what we're seeing is just a hall of mirrors. It's just a projection of what we want other people to see on these social media accounts, and it's, you know, and teenagers who are still trying to figure out who they are, trying to understand their own identity and how they relate to other people, to their peers, are seeing these curated versions of each other, and it only enhances this sense of isolation, this sense of comparison, that they're seeing, you know, these perfected versions of other people that are not real, and holding themselves up to that, which, you know, only you know, contributes to a lower self-esteem in some cases, and then worsens the anxiety or the social anxiety or the sense of self. It's a real challenge, and as a parent to actual to real life teenagers, and in addition to my theatrical teenager, you know, I'm faced with these kinds of you know, parenting sure. conundrums every day. Like, how do I help my sons, my kids, see the you know, the real people behind what these digital versions yeah. of their friends are.
Yeah. Well, that's the power of Dear Evan Hansen for mm-hmm. sure. But there is such a, you know, celebratory and wonderful and, you know, fun side of it all too, that
absolutely.
Amidst mm-hmm. all this heavy baggage are really funny moments mm-hmm. and really entertaining moments, really wonderful moments. It's got to be so much fun for you, Ben, to be
oh my gosh.
Playing this role. Is this a dream role?
Yeah, it's a dream. Yeah. It's a dream. It has everything. I mean, you know, it's also a dream because of the cast that I'm with on this stage every night. The fact that we were able to build this show together,
yeah.
we had a rehearsal process with all of us where we were able to build this show from the ground up with the whole creative team there, and they're just incredible. I mean, Evan Hansen would be no one without the people that surround him.
I know,
you
yeah.
know, truly. So, yeah.
What's it like for you to, you know, to take over this role and take it around the country? It's pretty well established by Ben Platt.
Sure. Mean,
people know him from Broadway, but have seen him so many times performing this on television. Does that enhance your role? Does it intimidate you, or did it?
Well, you have to be named Ben in order to play the role.
You have to get the right.
That was just the prerequisite going in. So.
Yeah. I mean, no.
Ben Affleck actually was up for this for a short time.
Yeah. No, I think Michael Greif and the whole creative team did a really great job of making me feel comfortable and able to explore in my own rights with this role. The people that came before me, no, the Evans that came before me that have taken on this role too, each one of them were so beautifully unique. And I think that that's really what this show is becoming, is that whoever's going to take over this role next is going to be able to make it their own because it's them, because it's their interpretation of it. And no one's going to try and do a caricature of someone else's role, because what is that? That's just an empty shell. So,
yeah.
You know, I think obviously there are so many people that inspire me every day that, you know, not necessarily people that have played Evan Hansen, but other actors that I look up to, and so that's definitely influencing me. But being able to take this on the road and having people come up to me and say, you know, I've been listening to the music, but you brought it to life for me. I didn't know what this show was, and now in my mind, I'm always going to be picturing you. That's a really special
pity thing. The next actor who has to come in after you after this, right?
Right.
Yeah. Who does inspire you? Who are the other actors that inspire you?
Gosh, I mean, most of them are women, honestly. Like Viola Davis, Meryl, but of course, Glenn Close. I'm just like thinking of all these people,
right?
And then even just like actors that are sort of not necessarily peers, but people that are my age, like. that inspire me, like Lucas Hedges, Timothy Chalamet. There are all of these like incredible actors that are coming up right now too. Elsie Fisher, who was just in eighth grade, who came and saw the show. She was incredible. That movie also has a lot of parallels to Evan Hansen.
It sure does.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of art that's being created right now that I think goes in a similar vein of sort of these awkward times. People are loving to explore this. These like it's sort of adolescent.
Yeah. Still, it's
coming
all,
of age.
It's this adolescent talk, but it's very relatable.
Absolutely.
No matter what your age is,
no
it makes
what,
a lot of sense. Yeah. What's it like for you to be, you just look way too young to be his mom, number one.
I agree.
Number one.
Thank you.
But and what's it like for you? You must have developed a special relationship with Ben. And
well, as Ben said, we have the real privilege of being able to do a full rehearsal process, you know, from scratch before we took the show on the road, and that was so critical in being able to develop intimacy and trust as humans and as actors. And it allows us to be where we are, which is about 6 months into this run, and still discovering new things every day. You know, we can still be in a scene and everything sort of just drops down into focus, and we are really listening and really responding, and every day those moments are a little bit different. And that is a gift, because without that trust there, without this this real sense of vulnerability and intimacy, we wouldn't have the freedom to explore those moments and have them be fresh and new every day. And so,
even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, when you're broken on the ground, you will be found.
Ben Levy, Ross, Jessica Phillips, Evan Hansen, and Heidi Hansen. Dear Evan Hansen, that's at the Nederlander Theater right now, formerly the Oriental. Current run is there until March 10th, and then it will be back this summer, July 7th through September 27th, also at the Nederlander, and tickets are on sale for that now at BroadwayInChicago.com. And Ticketmaster and all the usual places. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll update the news and one-on-one with Bobby Moynihan from Saturday Night Live after 11 o'clock on WGN. Coming up in our next half hour, one-on-one with SNL's Bobby Moynihan, here where you can hear America's favorite weatherman, Tom Skilling, weekday afternoons at 4 on the Rokan Show with Ana de Valantes, 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by the Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo. And here is Dave Schwann.
We have cloudy skies, 19 at O'Hare. Serious charges have been filed against the Chicago gang. WGN's Roger Badish has the story.
A judge has ordered 8 members of a Chicago street gang to stand trial in September on charges that they participated in a criminal organization that killed 6 people to maintain that drug-dealing empire. Those 6 are not eligible for the death penalty, but 3 others involved in the case are. Roger Badish, WGN News.
6 people were shot at what is being called a private club in the South Shore neighborhood early this morning. This near the intersection of 79th and Exchange Avenue. All 6 have non-life-threatening injuries, but police have no suspects. A 22-year-old woman died after being shot while sitting in a home in the Inglewood neighborhood. Police say she was in the home in the 7200 block of South May early this morning when shots were fired through the window of the home. The woman was hit in the head and died at the scene. President Trump predicts he will win an even bigger victory in 2020. He made that prediction during his 2-plus-hour-long speech to the Conservative Political Action Conference in suburban Washington yesterday. also talked about his long-held grievances and complained that he doesn't get any credit for his achievements as president. The fiancé of a man killed by Sacramento police last year is decrying a decision by prosecutors not to charge the officers. Selena Mani tearfully criticized District Attorney Anne-Marie Schubert for bringing up the domestic violence complaint she filed against Stephon Clark 2 days before he was killed. Schubert says many of that may have contributed to his actions, that the night the 22-year-old unarmed African-American suspect was fatally shot in his grandparents' backyard. At the SpaceX headquarters in California, cheers today after the successful docking of the Crew Dragon test capsule at the International Space Station. Here's ABC's Michelle Franzen.
It's the next step in the U.S. resuming human spaceflight. The Dragon capsule docking at the International Space Station without the use of a robotic arm. NASA astronaut Bob Behnken explains.
We may push a button or two to demonstrate that we have the capability to intervene if we need to, but the vehicle is pretty much going to do the work autonomously just like it did today.
The demo launch is a joint venture between SpaceX and NASA, coming 8 years after the final space shuttle mission.
The beginning, really, of a new era of human spaceflight.
NASA's Gary Jordan, the Dragon's next act, returning to Earth. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, the Hawks take the ice tonight in San Jose. They'll be at least 7 games out of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Team feels like it let one slip away yesterday in the 6-3 loss to the Kings. Head coach Jeremy Collison knows there has to be a sense of urgency in their play tonight.
Well, this is pro hockey, and everyone's trying to play. You know, it's not easy to do it. That's why only 16 teams make the playoffs. But if we want to be in one of those 16 spots, we got to rise above. And we didn't do it today. We did it. We have done it in the past. We've shown we can. So now's the time.
Well, Hawks wrap up their 3-game road set tonight at San Jose. Chris Bowden with your pregame at 8:30. John and Troy, the call at 9 on WGN and WGNradio.com. We have White Sox Catholic League Baseball on WGN this afternoon. White Sox will take on the Cubs in Mesa at Sloan Park. Ed Farmer, Darren Jackson will be along at 2 o'clock today. Bulls will host Atlanta this afternoon at the United Center. Bulls and Hawks combined for the third highest scoring game in NBA history when they last met Friday night in Atlanta. Final score of that one, if you didn't hear about it, 168-161. It was 4 overtime. Zach LaVine had 47 points. Atlanta's Trae Young had 49 that night. And Northwestern will take on Illinois tonight. Pregame at 5:15. The tip with Dave Ennett and Joey Meyer from Champaign at 5:30. Right here on WGN and WGNradio.com. Wildcats trying to snap a 9-game losing skid. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats and White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
Yeah, the Cubs and the Sox are playing today.
Today.
We'll have that on WGN.
Starting at 2.
Are they in Arizona?
They are in Arizona. They are in Mesa.
Wouldn't this have been a good week for us to be doing the show in Arizona?
This would have been a tremendous week for us to be there in Arizona. I don't know what happened.
In Phoenix? Are they in the Phoenix area?
Yeah, they'll be in Mesa at the new Cubs Park over there.
Yeah,
there's a Portillo's right down the street from there.
We could have broadcast from the Portillo's.
Absolutely right. That would have been a great day. Well, Portillo's and a little baseball can't go wrong.
What do we get? Presidential towers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll be there next week.
But at least it's for a good cause.
Are you trying to tell me that's like Arizona?
No.
It's a very good cause next week.
But it's not quite Arizona.
But it's not, I'm going to guess, 75 degrees there today.
Well, it might be inside, but definitely not when we walk out the door.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know what happened. It was the planning committee didn't plan very well, huh?
They are so far behind in my many requests that I put in to do the show from other locations.
I think we just flood them with one a week.
We haven't even gotten
time
to the bowling alley.
Yeah, we've been working on that for about 12 years now, trying to do the show from a bowling alley.
You know it's going to get approved for the following week, right? The riverboat?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, we've
talked
about
that.
Wanted to do the riverboat.
Yes. That's going
to
be approved in the shivering cold of St. Patrick's Day.
we wanted to do Maxwell Street. I want to do the show.
Yeah.
I'd like to do the show on Maxwell Street some Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I put in so many different requests.
And none of them have been answered.
Yeah, but we'll be at Presidential Towers next week.
Yes, we will.
For the Lung Association climb.
Yeah, the Fight for Air climb, yeah.
American Lung Association Fight for Air climb. We'll be in an office space that it's
one of my favorite movies.
It's really... If you're there, look for the most difficult place possible to find. That's where we'll be.
Just follow the smell of breakfast sandwiches.
Well, that's true. We do have breakfast.
Yes, we eat while people are climbing stairs.
Yeah.
We call that ironic juxtapositioning.
And fascinating radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know me, how much I enjoy listening to people eat stuff on the radio. My favorite thing.
Speaking of eating on the radio,
yep.
Are we going to have rainbow ice cream?
Swanee wants rainbow ice cream.
Nice.
They just reopened, you know, for the season.
This is why I'm asking.
Yeah, I noticed that a couple of those seasonal ice cream stores have reopened here.
Yeah, it's that, even though it's going to be 15 below zero tonight.
But it's never a bad time for ice cream. It could be 60 below and I'd still eat it.
The good thing is you can be outside and it won't melt on you.
Exactly.
That's right.
Got to look at the practical side of things.
Well, we'll work on it. It's for next. That's for next week.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that right?
Yes, yeah, next week. It is next week at this time.
All right. I like to know where I'm supposed to be. Okay.
Anybody else cancel out on the show today? Are we going to have to fill an hour and 50 minutes?
We found Larry Potash.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
We found him. He's going to be on a little after 12 noon.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Right. They're going to call him every half hour to remind him?
I'll believe it when I hear it, but allegedly he's going to be on after 12 o'clock.
Back to you,
right along
at 11:10 WGN traffic. Two slower areas on the expressways, the Kennedy and the Eisenhower, respectively. First, the Kennedy, about a 25-minute trip from O'Hare to downtown, 15 minutes from Montrose on in. And on the Eisenhower, a 35-minute trip from Route 390 into the old post office, 20 minutes from Mannheim on in. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Cloudy, cold today. Temperatures in the 20s for a high, dropping to around 10 above by the evening hours. Very cold tonight, and a wind chill advisory in effect tonight, running through 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Lows overnight, 5 below, well inland to 5 above downtown. And for Monday, partly sunny, but very cold. Sub-zero temperatures beginning the day, a high of only 11 above, and wind chills down to minus 15.
Great day for rainbow ice cream.
I agree.
Really, any day is a great day for rainbow ice cream.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Greatest ice cream in the history of ice cream.
I'm not going to be there unless they're there.
Ooh. Who knew it was that easy?
Ice cream spoons have been thrown.
Wow, Schwani's not showing up unless there's ice cream.
That's in his rider for the appearance.
It is.
Yeah.
Diva.
I'm not coming unless there's ice cream.
He's taking his ball and going home.
Okay.
19 at O'Hare, 20 at Midway.
Thanks for the warning.
Roselle has 19, Chicago's Lakefront 20.
Hey, by the way.
That's all you had to do, huh?
I had no idea it was that easy. All these years.
Simple as ice cream.
By the way, we just invited Tom and Kathy from Downers Grove texted in. They have something called the Suburbanite Bowl in Westmont every Sunday. Great people and huge fans of the show.
Mm.
So we're invited to come and do the show there.
That'll be on a 99-degree Sunday.
Yeah, if you'd like us to come and do the show from wherever you are on Sunday morning, write us, and we will we'll put it on the list. We'll put it on the list of other places that we wanted to do the show.
Bowling would be cool, though. I like that.
That would be fun.
Yeah,
do the show at a bowling alley.
Absolutely right.
We've been
talking about that for several years now. As a matter of fact,
yep.
We never got the shirts, though. That's the problem.
Is that the problem?
Yeah. Right.
Chwani won't do the show without a shirt.
I will not go.
Thankfully.
And believe us, we all agree. We all want you to wear a shirt, too.
I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and I want my ice cream. Ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Dean Richard, Sunday morning, WGN. If you're a Michael Jackson fan, you may want to stay away from HBO tonight. This much-talked-about Michael Jackson documentary called Leaving Neverland actually will be on HBO Go and HBO Now tonight at 7 o'clock Central Time. This is the documentary
with the story of these now two men who were young boys when they alleged that they were sexually abused by Michael Jackson. New information that has not been disclosed before, but put into this two-part documentary. So you know, however you feel about it, know that it's going on HBO. And then tomorrow, Oprah Winfrey is going to do an interview with the two gentlemen on which the documentary is based, Wade Robeson and James Safechuck. Will be sitting down with the director of the documentary, Dan Reed, and talking about their experiences. And they will be sitting before an audience of survivors of sexual abuse. So that should be pretty interesting, called After Neverland. Oprah Winfrey's interview, it's all on HBO. Be aware of that. A quick break, and when we come back, one-on-one with Bobby Moynihan, who was in Chicago at the Museum of Broadcast Communications last night. We'll get to that next. Tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News, we're talking live with Javier Bardem, Oscar winner, about his brand-new movie in which he appears with his real-life wife, Penelope Cruz. Also, tomorrow morning, you will see some of the interview that I'm about to play for you right now with this guy.
Simply having a wonderful Easter time.
Well, happy Easter, drunk uncle.
Is it, Seth? Because when I was a kid, you know, Easter used to mean something. You know, we used to get dressed up. I wore a tuxedo for a week. And we used to color our eggs by hand with lead paint.
One of the classic characters from Bobby Moynihan, who spent 9 years on Saturday Night Live. He was at the Museum of Broadcast Communications last night for a series that they're doing called Conversations in Comedy, in which I hosted a Q&A with Bobby Moynihan. And we had just a fantastic conversation talking about his career, the characters that he's created, that famous Beyonce sketch that they did in which he and Justin Timberlake and Andy Samberg acted in leotards, acted as backup dancers for Beyonce. It's hilarious and classic. He tells the story of that and so much more. It was kind of ironic that it was Saturday night and we were live from the Museum of Broadcast Communications. What would you be doing right now? I mean, if you were still on SNL, it's Saturday night. It's
God, I would be getting ready to do the show.
Yeah.
I would probably, honestly, if I was still on Saturday Night Live right now, I would probably be exhausted and be like, I can't believe I have to do a show right now, and then feel absolutely amazing and get ready to do
exhausted
it.
Exhausted from a week of rehearsal and
yeah, just from the
and all that.
From years and years of beating myself up over trying to be funny. Yeah. But yeah, right before the show was always like, all right. Especially towards the end, it was like a little bit like, okay. Because after that dress rehearsal, your energy is spent.
Yeah.
Because you did it. And then you got to do it again for real. So it's hard. That in-between dress and air is an odd time.
That's so, it came showtime. And somehow you just pulled it out. Somehow.
Yeah, once you hear that music, everything changes. Yeah. Once you hear that band playing that warm-up music, and then they slow it down right before. And even if you're the tiredest person in the world, all your stuff got cut at dress, you feel like garbage, you don't want to do the show, and then you hear that 5 seconds, and you're just like, and you hear that laugh, and you're like, I'm on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there and do it.
Yeah, who can hate that? You were actually pretty emotional walking through the SNL exhibit.
I still am.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's,
yeah, I didn't want to pull an Oprah on you and try to get you to cry on
right?
camera.
Right, it's not going to be hard, I'll tell you that. I can't believe how well represented everyone is, meaning like crew to set design to everything, seeing the pictures of all those people and everything, like that really brought me back. And I'd never seen that footage from the 40th. The good nights from the 40th. I'd never seen it, and that blew my mind.
What really touched you? I mean, you said the 40th obviously did. But like, as you were going through it, were there personal moments? Were you going back to, you know, specific moments or you know, friends.
Yeah, it's
like
more
really close friends.
I got the feeling of, I was on that show for 9 years. It was my life's dream to be on that show, and I was on it for 9 years. And when you're there, it's hard to enjoy it. But I was a fan of it my whole life. So to walk through that exhibit as a fan and then see yourself, it's crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's a lot.
Does it make you, miss it more?
Does it reaffirm
the decision that you made when you left? You know, the reasons that you had when you left kind of reaffirmed for you, you know, this was a fantastic part of my past.
Yeah,
and it's time for me to move on.
I miss it a great deal. I miss the people. I miss the feeling of writing something on a Monday and seeing it produced and on television on a Saturday. I miss that. I don't miss the hours. I don't miss the anxiety. I don't miss the not believing in yourself. But that's also part of it, and it's what made it so great. And it's nice to feel proud about it.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. I understand it, but when you say not feeling good about yourself, that's kind of an actor's thing, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's you know, for me looking out, you know, how could Bobby not feel good about your long run on that show and these amazing iconic characters that you created? And you made such a big positive mark.
Thanks.
You know, like positive. And you know, I could probably ask Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep the same question. I bet they'd respond the same way. Right, but here you say not feeling good about yourself.
Well, yeah, it was just, you know, you're on a show that you watched your entire life, and there are these legends, and they sometimes walk in the door and say hello to you, and sometimes they're in scenes with you, and sometimes they're not, and sometimes it's an athlete, and you have to step up, and it's a very strange place to work. I don't know any other job in the world where they bring the hottest celebrity in the world in, have them sit down and hang out with you for a week, and then it's on national television at the end of the week. Like it's a bizarre thing. I remember the summer after my first year waking up and going like, well, I don't feel right because something absolutely amazing didn't happen today. and for the past 100 and something days, something amazing happened every single day.
Yeah.
So that first summer was like, what, so Tom Hanks isn't coming over? I'm not gonna meet one of my
right.
childhood.
Not gonna
dreams
dance
today.
With Beyonce today?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, like you start to get used to that, and then the after parties, and it just changes you.
Yeah.
It's the coolest place to be in the world.
Speaking of Beyonce, I mean, that...
I'm not familiar.
That is legendary. I mean, that will go down as one of the legendary SNL...
isn't that crazy?
...bits. That, yeah. You wrote it.
Me and John Lutz. I remember very specifically Kenan Thompson. I went into Kenan's dressing room. He said, you see this video? And he showed me the video. And I remember thinking I wanted to write something with Andy. I hadn't written something with Andy yet. So I was like, what if we were in the leotards and we were the background dancers? And I wrote it down on a piece of paper, like, that'll be silly, on a Monday. And the next, it didn't even get picked. It didn't get picked originally.
Wow.
Because Beyonce wasn't at the table read. Kristen read Beyonce's part. And it was very different, and we weren't going to do it. I mean, I've told this story a million times, but like, Justin Timberlake is the reason why it happened. Andy called up Justin. Justin showed up, put on a leotard, and was like, you're going to do this, right? And the next thing I know, it's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't chosen because Beyonce hadn't signed off on it?
I wrote it. We wrote it knowing that we would have to show it to Beyonce and she would have to approve. Mm. So we just wrote it. It was also my 8th episode. I didn't know any better. Like, I didn't know the... John Lutz has said to me that was the hardest sketch he's ever had to work on in his time at SNL, and I get it. Because I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
And I essentially went up to one of the biggest stars in the world and was like, will you do this thing?
Yeah.
And she wanted to do it as a pre-tape originally because she hadn't done... She wanted to perform her songs. It was the first time she had performed them live on television. So she wanted to focus on that. So she didn't want to be in a live sketch. So, and Lauren was like, we're not pre-taping it. We do it live and we're not doing it. You know, and so Andy called Justin. And a couple hours later, Justin showed up and the rest is in a museum in Chicago. And I can't believe it.
What about other big star encounters? Which ones really blew your minds?
Paul McCartney knowing my name, Paul McCartney walking by and saying, hello, Bobby. That was a very weird experience. I still don't get it. watching Jim Carrey order at one of the host dinners to the waiter, and the second the waiter started saying the specials, he screamed, ew, in the waiter's face, and the waiter jumped about 15 feet in the air. But, like, I was a fan of Jim Carrey my entire life, and I'm watching him order and do bits with the waiter, and I was just like, this is the best job in the world. There's little moments like that. Sarah Palin walking by. I was the moose in the Sarah Palin right. Weekend update. I was in that moose costume. That was my first update I ever did. And I was walking to go towards it, and I had the head here, and she walked past me, and she just went, moose! Like, just little moments like that. John McCain very confidently put his hand on my shoulder and went, always a pleasure, Horatio. That was a good one.
Was he kidding?
No.
No,
he thought you were Horatio Sands.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I get it all the time. Maybe the most embarrassing one was definitely George Lucas at the 40th. I was at the 40th anniversary. I was 15 years old again in my brain. I couldn't believe it, and we were signing books, these SNL, the Tashin books that they made, and Gilbert Gottfried was next to me, and I remember going, like, I've never met Gilbert Gottfried, he's right there. Like, and I hear a voice out of the corner of my ear, and it's George Lucas, and I was like, I know who that is. I turned 15, I was like, Mr. Lucas, my name's Bobby Moynihan, I'm on Saturday Night Live, and he was like, good for you. It's like, ugh, I'm a child. I was like, can I get a picture with you? And he was like, fine.
That's the best.
That's
the greatest.
It meant a lot to me. Yeah.
It's the greatest. It's the greatest. What about post-SNL? What's it been like for you since then?
It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful to sit back and enjoy life as an adult again. I have a daughter now, and she means the world to me, and my family has taken that hole that was SNL, and it's the best. I feel really, really, really lucky and very emotional today.
Yeah. I'm going to get you to cry during this thing tonight.
I'm rambling.
Right,
I'm like,
on the
edge. I am.
Yeah, I can tell you're right on the edge with
that. Well, it's just so, it meant so much to me.
More with Bobby Moynihan coming up in just a minute. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. We are talking with Bobby Moynihan, star of Saturday Night Live for 9 years. He was in Chicago at the Saturday Night Live, the Experience exhibit. It's at the Museum of Broadcast Communications at 360 South State Street, North State Street in Chicago. And that exhibit, by the way, will be open only until the end of March, and then it'll move on. So Bobby Moynihan was literally walking around this exhibit in tears. It brought back, you know, so many memories for him. So that tells you it's kind of the real deal. We had a great time talking to him about his career and talking about some of the great characters that he's developed over the years. Everyone must ask you all the time who your favorite characters are, your favorite moments from SNL.
My favorite moments from SNL, like of mine, like of just being
of yours.
There?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's funny, it changes a lot. When I was on the show, it was very different. Now, looking back, it's like the first time I did Snooki on Update, I think was the first time where, like, I really let loose a little bit and I realized, like, Lauren likes this and the audience likes it. And it was the first time that, like, where I went, like, I went home, like, yeah, that was fun. Like, that was just fun. Like, I went out there and did what I used to do at Upright Citizens Brigade. And the first Drunk Uncle was kind of the same. That was, like, that changed everything for me, that first Drunk Uncle with Seth. Seth was the greatest. And I have a couple very distinct memories of, like, being in the scene and thinking in my head, I'm on Saturday Night Live right now, and I cannot believe it. And, like, the Beyonce sketch was definitely one of those. David Pumpkins, I remember start to finish. I remember start to finish that whole thing. The Hobbit Office sketch that I wrote, like, that was a big one for me. That was the first one where I went, like, I wrote this very dumb, weird thing that was a big swing, and there's so many other talented people that work there that made it better than anything I could have imagined, that's where, like, I realized you might be the one who wrote this funny thing, but it's everyone who makes it amazing and makes it last forever. Yeah. I remember going into the editing room, and there's that first shot in the Hobbit office where it's the whole joke is it's them going over the bridge in the Shire, but it's the office building.
Yeah.
And instead of BBC, somebody wrote the initials from the book, and I was just like, that's so nerdy and so wonderfully genius, and I never would have thought of it. And, like, everyone over there is amazing at what they do. Like, a lot of the Star Wars stuff I loved. I got to do, like, a couple Star Wars things. That was fun. The Kylo Ren undercover boss sketch was one of my favorites, like, to work on. I'm really proud of. All those Star Wars ones, the Marvel. God, there's so many. I could go on forever.
That's cool.
But character-wise, like, Drunk Uncle was my favorite to do, obviously.
Yeah. Is there an uncle on which that was based?
Drunk Uncle is a bit... There's a comedian, Chris Gethard. You know Chris Gethard? Mm-hmm. We did Upright Citizens Brigade together, and I didn't drink very often. And so I would go to the bar and just pretend to be very, very drunk and start rapping and crying while I was rapping. We just thought it was a weird bit. And I would just do it to make him laugh, and that's kind of where it started, but... Drunk Uncle is pretty much my father. Pretty much my dad. Just like this lovable man who means well, but maybe doesn't have the right terminology for the time.
Yeah, yeah. Is he honored by that?
I think so, in a way. He has since passed, but he knew. He would give me the, like, I know what you're doing there.
Do you think he'll want to be back on television on a regular... basis? Because while SNL was a great experience, I have to think that CBS was not.
It was a wonderful experience. I met Jaleel White. He's one of the... I love him to death. it was a wonderful experience. I had an amazing experience on that show. I didn't have an amazing experience how it ended, but that's politics and TV. Mm-hmm. And I learned that at SNL. I never thought it was going to make it. The second I went, like, I don't look anything like John Larroquette. I love him. I can't believe I get to work with him, but I was just like, maybe not this. But it's also funny because I'm on television every day. I'm on like 20 cartoons. I'm still like, it's right. Like people go like, SNL is such a thing that is every Monday. If there's an SNL that weekend, you wake up on Monday, no matter who you are, someone's going to go, did you see that thing on SNL last night? Sure. Or especially now with Twitter and Facebook, you can't get away from it.
Right.
It's a clip. But if you're not anymore... If you're not on that show anymore, you might as well be dead. It's like, people go like, what are you doing? Are you okay? Are you all right? And I'm like, I'm on TV like 7 hours a day still. Yeah. But like, it's not, you just don't have children. Watch cartoons.
Right.
But other stuff too. And no, I'm extremely happy. I keep telling my wife, if I never worked again, I'd be okay. I think I'd be okay because I want to because I would be bored. But... there's definitely a sense of, well, it's never going to be that good again, so why don't I enjoy my daughter and my life? And that afforded me the ability to enjoy my family and to grow up and watch her grow up.
Maybe sort of like meant to be. So
the timing of my life has been, I'm not upset with it. Yeah. I'm very, very, very pleased with it.
Yeah, nice conversation with Bobby Moynihan. We talked even more when we were actually on stage at the Museum of Broadcast Communications last night. This is an interview that we did before our Q&A, before the audience, and I'd be shocked if the museum wasn't going to put that up on their website someplace, museum.tv. We did the interview from the main stage at their Saturday Night Live, the Experience exhibit, which will be in Chicago until the end of the month, March 31st. As I say, you can get more information at museum.tv. And when we come back from the break, one-on-one with Tyler Perry, talking about his final Madea movie. That's next. 11:51, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Dean's List A-List interview for today. And Bobby Moynihan, hope you enjoyed that interview. We'll have more of it, by the way, tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News. Also, wanted to share with you a little of my one-on-one with one of the most powerful movie makers in the world, who also likes to put on a dress and a gray wig. Tyler Perry started off his empire with his character Madea, the tough-talking granny. In fact, you'll hear him in this interview talk about how it pretty much all started here in Chicago. We sat down with him one-on-one for his new movie, Madea Family Funeral, that debuts in the number two spot on the box office for the weekend. Tyler was in New York, and we talked with him about this being the final Madea movie. He's said he's going to stop playing the character both on stage and also in the movies, and that is what we talked about. The final movie, the final tour.
Yeah.
Is it really final, or is it like a share kind of final?
Listen, life is long, but for me, I'm pretty much hanging up the moo-moo in the shoes. It's been a lot of fun, you know, starting right here in Chicago at the, you know, 79th Stony Island at the Regal. If I had, the only way she would come back is to go back to the Regal to play there for 2 or 3 weeks in one of these shows.
Sure. Well, they're trying to bring the Regal back, there's a pretty good incentive to try to do that. Explain how this all started. Was it 1999, I think, right?
Yeah, it was 1999 at the Regal Theater. I was promoting this one person was going to be in the show, and she didn't show up. She had a big hit on the radio, and Madea was only supposed to be in the show for a little while, but when she didn't show up, I had to do her lines and my lines, and I walked down, that's why I love Chicago. I walked out on stage at the end of the show and I said, I want to apologize because she didn't make it. The audience is going, we don't care. We don't care. We want Madea. It was fantastic. So that's where she was born.
So that's where you got the idea then that we're onto something.
Yeah.
With this. So really you had no plans of developing this into what it's turned into?
No, this franchise that it's become has been shocking to me on so many levels. So it's been really, really great. And my audience at its heart has been right there beside this, and I'm so grateful for
it. Do I remember correctly you telling me that when you were at the Regal all those years ago, that you were sleeping in your car in the back or on a bus or something?
Before the Regal, for sure. I was homeless before. The Regal was the beginning of the tours having success.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've always talked about how, you know, Chicago was so instrumental to...
For sure, man. Madea. It was almost a second home. We were playing 3, 4, 6 weeks a year there sometimes. It was so great. I mean, the people of Chicago have been absolutely awesome to me and to everything that I've built. So I'm just grateful for these 25 years.
What do you think has clicked with the public with Madea? There's a certain relatable quality, I think, that people love.
It's got to be simply that, because these grandmothers were, like her, were missed. Like my grandmother, she's missed, you know, and she's not around anymore. People are endeared to her because she tells the truth. No nonsense, not politically correct. She just speaks her mind, and I'm hoping that that is what the legacy of it was, that it's inspired and lifted people.
Yeah, any sort of, like, bittersweet feeling that you have about letting this go at all?
No.
Not going to miss it?
No. What I'll miss is the audience in the live shows. You know, like we're on the final tour right now. I'll miss the live shows because that is the most fun for me. The movies aren't as fun as the live shows.
I was looking at Ticketmaster, and the ticket prices for this are like up to $400.
Which is completely and utterly shocking to me.
Yeah.
Because what I've done is set a ticket price so that the fans could afford it. And to see where things have gone, and once you add surcharges and everything, and then be sure that's Ticketmaster, because sometimes...
I did check it wasn't a ticket broker.
Wow.
I wanted to make sure that it was like the actual.
Yeah.
But that speaks to the popularity and how much people are going to have attached to this and are going to miss it.
Yeah, but I'm completely shocked at that number because the show does cost over $1 million a week to put on. So I'm trying to give the consumer an amazing show that they've never seen before. Yeah. This is the biggest show that I've ever done on stage, but I didn't know the tickets were that. That's a lot.
Yeah,
and I'm grateful for anybody who would pay that.
Yeah, he'll be at the Erie Crown Theater next weekend, Friday and Saturday, two shows each day. Tickets are still available. They're a little on the pricey side, but if you're a Madea fan, you might be interested in something like that. Talking about the Regal Theater that was originally called the Avalon Theater on 79th and Stony Island. I'm going to be broadcasting from there Thursday morning on the WGN-TV Morning News. We're going to go back there and talk about how the current owner is restoring the theater. It's a beautiful, beautiful palace. Just, you know, one of these theaters. We all grew up with a theater like this in our neighborhoods, in the city, in the suburbs. Many of them fell into disrepair and were torn down, but many are like the Regal and just in need of renovation. Kanye West has pledged $1 million to help bring back the Regal Theater because he grew up going there. So we're going to go into the old theater, you know, see what it looks like, talk about, you know, what is planned there. That's all going to be Thursday morning on WGN-TV Morning News. So, Shawnee, a week from right now, next week at this time?
Yes, right.
We may be eating rainbow ice cream.
Then I will be there.
You know, I'm anti-eating food on the show.
We can always eat afterward.
It's like one of my little, you know, pet peeves that I have.
As I recall, we ate the ice cream on the show,
though. Well, we were demonstrating the correct way to eat ice cream. That was different.
That was technical.
That was a demonstration, because if you remember, everyone had their own technique of eating ice cream.
That's right.
You know, if you remember that.
I do.
So, but you laid down the gauntlet earlier. we're gonna be doing our show next week at Presidential Towers. As we do once a year over for the American Lung Association's climb that they always do, Climb for Life. So we'll be there. We're doing the show live in an office there. So, you know, if you're there.
They want us out of the way.
If you're there, good luck finding us. Yeah. We're practically in a broom closet. But we will be there. We will be doing the show there. Can you tell I'm bitter about that? But we'll you know, hopefully we'll have rainbow ice cream to pass out to everyone. And Shawnee said earlier that he wasn't going to do the show unless there was rainbow ice cream, because he's a diva like that. So I think we might be able to have the rainbow ice cream for you. Any other demands?
No.
Evian water.
I just thought you were just going to easily not have the rainbow ice cream, so you wouldn't have to deal with
red M&Ms only. Mr. Schwann would like Evian water, 68 degrees, please.
Not 69.
Not 69, not 70. 70. Not 67.
68.
68 degrees. That's next Sunday morning.
And in a chilled glass.
Over of the same station. People think you're kidding. Oh, my gosh.
One ice cube.
The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News is sponsored by the Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo.com. Here's Dave Schwann.
We have cloudy skies, 19 at O'Hare. Police need your help in finding two women missing since last Sunday. Police in Gary, Indiana say Jessica Flores and Melina Cottrell were last seen on a Facebook Live page Sunday, then went missing. Police say Flores borrowed her boyfriend's car, which was later found abandoned and partially burned in South Chicago Heights. Flores' cousin says they just want her home.
I worried because we don't know, and that's the worst possible thing ever, is not knowing. Is she okay? Is she not? Is she being held against her will? Is she gone? Like, we just want to find her.
Some items belonging to Flores were found inside that abandoned car. She is the mother of six children. A police investigation continues into a private club in the South Shore neighborhood where six people were shot early this morning. This happening near East 79th and Exchange Avenue. All of those injuries non-life-threatening. No suspects in custody. Hillary Clinton spoke in Selma, Alabama this morning at the Martin and Coretta King Unity Breakfast and called for voting reform to make sure all votes are valid and counted. The former presidential candidate and first lady urged those in attendance to marshal their strength and work on serious voting reform.
We aren't going to win every fight. Take that from me. But history does teach us that the times when the struggle feels the hardest
are the times when marching forward is the most important.
And this week also marks the anniversary of Bloody Sunday, the march in Selma, Alabama in 1965. Senator Bernie Sanders, also present at the Unity Breakfast this morning, he will be here in Chicago tonight. South Korea and the U.S. are eliminating their springtime military drills and replacing them with smaller exercises. This is part of the effort to support diplomacy aimed at resolving the North Korean nuclear crisis. That decision was announced by both countries today. Environmentalists are praising Governor Pritzker's proposal for a 5-cent tax on all plastic bags used at checkouts across Illinois. Not all shoppers, however, are excited about the idea. Pritzker says the tax could reduce waste and raise revenue. The tax proposal says it could generate up to $23 million. And a 20-year-old man, Matthew Milby Jr. of Dixon, has been found mentally competent to stand trial on charges he opened fire at a Northern Illinois high school. A judge agreed with a forensic psychologist's report. Milby has pleaded not guilty. WGN Sports, White Sox and the Cubs playing today. Our game is at 2 o'clock this afternoon. You can hear it right here with Ned Farmer and Darren Jackson on 720 WGN. Sox beat Colorado yesterday 10-6. Cubs lost to Milwaukee 7-4. Following the White Sox, Northwestern basketball. Northwestern playing Illinois. Pre-games at 5:15. The tip-off 5:30 with Dave Ennett and Joey Meyer on 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com. Other college games today, we have St. John's playing DePaul and Notre Dame at Louisville. And then tonight, the Blackhawks visiting San Jose. Pre-game with Chris Bowden at 8:30. Face-off 9 o'clock with John Weideman and Troy Murray on 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com. Hawks losing to L.A. yesterday 6-3. Finally, in the NBA, the Bulls playing Atlanta today. WGN traffic, some slow places on the Kennedy. It's outbound on the Kennedy, slow from between Lawrence and Harlem. And inbound now, a 25-minute trip from O'Hare to downtown, 15 minutes from Montrose on in. The Eisenhower is 35 minutes from Route 390 to the old post office. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Cloudy this afternoon, colder. We could see highs only around 20, but dropping later on as the day goes on. And very cold tonight with a wind chill advisory going into effect and running until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Lows overnight, 5 below, well inland to 5 above downtown. And for tomorrow, partly sunny, very cold, sub-zero temperatures hanging in there for the early morning hours. A high tomorrow, just 11 above, wind chills down to minus 15. O'Hare 19, Midway 20, Roselle has 19, and Chicago's lakefront is 19. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
If you want to see a morning show make the unbelievable un-f***ing believable, tune into WGN Morning News for puppets, robots, transvestites, giant vegetables, and lots of explosives. WGN Morning News, we put the suck in sexy.
There are not a lot of morning shows that can say that. But we can. There is Larry Podes. The WGN-TV Morning News. Larry, how many years now for you on the good old WGN-TV Morning News?
Coming up on 25 this summer.
Wow. How did that happen?
Hard to believe.
Wow.
You know, it is unbelievable.
Right?
And we've all been, Robin came shortly after me, Paul came shortly after her in 96. And then there's like another group that came, about 10 years after. So we're a crew that's been together for a very long time, and we know each other, I think, pretty well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what makes it easy, I think.
That's what I always say. I was like between the first generation and the next. I got on the morning show around 2001 before Anna Belleval and Pat Tomasulo, who came after me. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, we're longtime friends, and I think that's what makes the chemistry work, too. Well, we were all very concerned about you earlier.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't. Something came up with Larry's daughter. Everything's fine. Not an emergency, but something came up, and he was going to be with us earlier. But, you know, we were starting rumors that, something had happened.
to you. We're about to launch a national, worldwide search.
Yeah.
Where's Larry? Like a world, where's Larry thing. But anyway,
right.
At first I was making fun of you, like, you know, where's Larry? And then I thought, well, what if something really happened to him? Now I'm really going to feel bad. So I changed my tune on it. Anyway, it worked out. And because we just wanted to remind everybody about your second season of your evening show, Backstory, that premieres tonight at 8:30 on WGN. And it sounds like you're getting into a topic that is of interest to so many Chicagoans, remains a fascination, the old-time gangster world in Chicago.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be nothing left to say about Capone and Ness. And these two guys, one of them's a Princeton historian, and the other one wrote the Dick Tracy comic strip. He also wrote Road to Perdition, which was shot in Chicago, as you well know.
Yeah, with Tom Hanks.
And they went through all the documents, all the letters, talked to relatives of the Untouchables, and there was some new information. And we start with what most people know, which is the movie from 1987 with Costner and Connery.
Yeah.
And clearly there are some things in there that are completely mythical. But one of the interesting things is a lot of historians thought that Capone and Ness never met, and we have a photo that shows that they did. And we have a story of a phone call they had between each other that sounds like something that should have been in the movie. It sounds mythical, but that turned out to be, as far as we can tell, true.
Please tell me that it sounds like Edward G. Robinson at some point. Yeah, this is Capone talking. Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah, dames.
Yeah.
And
see? Look at the gams on that dame. Yeah, yeah. All right, so we're gonna look forward to that. That's at 8:30 tonight. Is that right?
That's at 8:30. The Capone Ness story, and then we go in and we open Ness's scrapbooks, which is kind of cool.
Cool, and revisiting Geraldo's venture into Capone's vault that fascinated America for a time.
Yeah, you realize there's a whole generation out there that doesn't know that Geraldo Capone vault story, and we found an old story that we had done 30-something years ago, wow. And it's kind of fun to watch the whole going inside the Lexington Hotel before it was torn down, Capone had his headquarters.
That's amazing. All right, so we're going to look forward to that tonight at 8:30. Earlier, I had asked people, you know, if they had questions for Larry to text them into us, and they had. And there are a bunch of bizarre questions that we'll pass on, but one in particular...
Sure.
Asking if Chantel the cat will be featured on your Backstory show this season.
Boy, you know, we're going to have a meeting about that. I'd have to let her out of the steel box that I keep her in.
you remember
for that interview. And, of course, I don't understand what she says. Only Paul Conrad seems to understand what the cats say. And what is the most bizarre, stupidest segment in broadcast history that he created, by the way.
That's why it would make a good backstory. Story of it all. All right, Larry, we'll see you tomorrow morning on the news, and we'll see you tonight at 8:30 for Backstory. Have a great day today.
Thank you, Dean. Appreciate it.
And
take care.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk a little Mardi Gras food, New Orleans-style food for the Chicago area for Fat Tuesday that's coming up next. 12:19, Dean Richards. Sunday morning on WGN. Getting into the food time portion of our program, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show, the award-winning All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday at this time. Coming Tuesday, offices will be filled with punchkis everywhere. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but also it's Mardi Gras as well. People will be running around with their beads all day, and we're going to favorite New Orleans-style restaurant for Cajun food. It's been a while since we've talked about our favorite Cajun places in Chicago, and for that we bring in the Chicago Tribune's food and dining reporter, Nick Kindlesberger. Nick, welcome. Nice to have you here with us on WGN.
Thank you for having me.
How do we do as a city? Do we have a pretty good Cajun scene? I think we do, right?
We do okay. I think sometimes we ebb and flow, but fortunately right now there's a lot of new restaurants that have been opening up that have really expanded our scene, so you can find some really good Cajun food and Creole food in Chicago.
Okay, let's start with, we'll get back to the new ones in a second. But let's just talk about, you know, some of the favorites. During the break, you and I were talking about which ones do we like. And I mentioned the Maple Tree Inn.
Right.
I grew up around the old Maple Tree Inn in Blue Island.
Yeah, that's a classic that's been around for years. And but a couple years ago, they had a fire, and so they've been closed for a while. But they just opened a new location, still in Blue Island, so in the south suburbs. So you can go back and revisit some of those gumbo and all those kind of dishes they
what
have.
What sets it apart, do you think?
What sets that restaurant apart?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of places have come and gone. This one, it has to be open 25
you know, when you're there,
years,
you just feel so comfortable, and they really make you feel like you're at home. And some of that hospitality that you kind of think about with New Orleans, you really do get there. It's not trying to get you in the seat and get you out as fast as possible. They really want you to have a good time. I think that's what people love about the Maple Tree Inn.
Yeah, what about some other longtime favorites?
Well, of course, there's always Heaven on 7, which
Jimmy Banos's great place that you would never think would be in the middle of an office building,
right?
Over on Wabash.
It's still every time I go, I just like, am I sure I'm in the right spot? You know, like I don't really understand where
am
I'm going.
Going to the dentist's office. That's what it's sort of. I think it is mostly like dentists in that building.
Yeah, no, and you're looking around, and then all of a sudden you're just in this room. You're totally transported to New Orleans. It feels like, even though you're on the seventh floor in the Chicago Loop.
Yeah, at 111 North Wabash. And again, I think it's partially the hospitality. But, I mean, the food, I think, is exceptional at Heaven on 7.
Yeah, you know, they can't be open for that long if they weren't serving something people liked. But they're just very consistent, and they're always great with the lunch crowds, and even for dinner you can pop in. And it's just a fun room to be in for a long time. So,
okay, what are their recommendations? What are some of the new places?
So, in the new places, there's a couple places in Wicker Park. So, basically, any bar in Chicago is going to try to make you feel like you should come in for their Mardi Gras, but
right. You
really want to go to a place that knows what they're doing. So one place is Ina May's Tavern in Wicker Park. That's on Milwaukee Avenue. That's Brian Jupiter's new spot. I got to review it for the Tribune last year. So they have po' boys, which are excellent, and then they have a lot of fresh seafood that you can get. You can get both boiled seafood and fried seafood if you'd like that sort of thing. And then their drinks are really good. So you can get like an old school Sazerac there. So feel like you're in New Orleans and other drinks like that.
Okay. Ina May's Tavern. On Milwaukee and Wood, I think, right?
Yeah, that's right.
How it shakes out.
Yeah.
Luella's Southern Kitchen that's been around for a few years.
That's been around, and that's on the north side, and that's less of a sort of party kind of thing. It's more of a go in, you can BYOB there. So if you either don't drink or don't want to, or you want to bring in something that you really like, that one's really good. They have sandwiches as well, and gumbo, and jambalaya. So those are the kind of things, the sort of warming, comforting dishes.
Yeah, I was going to say, the way the weather's going to be the next few days. Yeah, gumbo and jambalaya sound like a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah. The other one in Wicker Park I really like is Fifole. So they have an amazing gumbo there, and that's a really awesome bar to like just go and have a few drinks. It feels like the old-time French Quarter sort of action going
on. Fifole. How do you spell Fifole?
F-I-F... Now you're going to be L-O-I-L-O-T. Is that right?
Fifole?
Yeah.
F-I-F-O-L-E-T?
F-I-F-O-L-E-T.
Yeah,
okay. That's right. All yeah. Right. You made me question my own memory there. Well, we have to sort of be French here, you know, because that's what the influence is.
That's what the influence is.
Yeah.
And that one is like a kind of division and just a little bit west of Ashland.
That's right.
It sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely.
More a bar or more a restaurant?
That one's sort of more of a bar, but they have a really good menu, like a pretty extensive Cajun Creole menu that you can pick from. On the more restaurant side of it, Big Jones up in Andersonville has been serving Southern food for about 10 years now, I believe. And they have an incredible gumbo, those kind where it's so dark it looks like almost chocolate sauce kind of that color.
And that's the real that's the real deal with gumbo. I mean,
that,
if you have gumbo at like you know, really great places. I don't mean the touristy places in New Orleans. You go to, like, you know, family-run restaurants. Mm-hmm. That's how the gumbo is served.
And you know that when they've done that, they've taken their time to do it right. And it takes time to do, because what you're doing is making a roux. And in French, you would keep it kind of blonde or white. But in New Orleans, they cook it down for a long time until it turns that dark chocolate brown.
Yeah. And is that a part of the difference between Cajun and Creole? Isn't Creole more of like sort of an aromatic style of food, and Cajun tends to be the more spicy?
I would say Creole is more of the sort of the New Orleans, sort of the city-fied version of it, and Cajun is more of what's out in the country of Louisiana. So you'll find it a little spicier, Cajun would probably be, and Creole would maybe be a little more refined as far as the cooking techniques.
Okay. If someone wanted to go for Fat Tuesday coming up, go to a New Orleans style restaurant, and almost all these places, and even non-Cajun or New Orleans style restaurants, everybody's going to have a band, everybody's going to have beads, everybody's going to have king's cake.
Yeah.
Everybody has that to make the celebration. But if you wanted to go for the real deal, where would you go, and what do you suggest? And if people are not as familiar as you, what do you go in and order? What would be a great meal?
I would definitely pick Ina May's, and get the gumbo. They have the gumbo yaya there.
That's the one that's on Milwaukee and
Wood.
That's
the one on Milwaukee.
Gumbo yaya, you say?
Yeah, I believe that's what they have there. It's just a little bowl of soup, but if you're not familiar with it, you'll just be amazed at how much flavor they can pack into something so small. And, then you can get some seafood on the side. You know, it's Fat Tuesday. You should eat a little bit and drink a little bit.
Yeah, that's fat is the key word.
That's right.
Right. Maybe have some seafood on the side. I mean, po' boy sandwiches are fantastic to have, right?
Absolutely. So you could do the fried shrimp po' boy, or they do what they call a roast beef debris. So they take the roast beef and they just cook it down until it gets all shreddy, and then they serve it. It's sort of like an Italian beef sort of thing going on, where the sauce is just as important as the meat. But yeah,
but probably sort of a New Orleans style gravy.
Yeah, totally.
Instead of the traditional kind that we're used to with Italian beef, right?
And what they do also is you can combine the roast beef and the fried shrimp on the one sandwich, and that is worth trying.
That is extra Fat Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to find my elastic pants.
Yeah,
elastic waisted pants.
You could, you atone later. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's about.
Yeah,
on Wednesday, you're giving something up for Lent.
Yeah.
If people want to learn more about this, best way to go back to, and read about some of these restaurants?
The best way to read about it, we've covered a lot of them. I've reviewed Ina May's for the Chicago Tribune and Fifole. And, Big Jones has been doing this for a long time, and he's really the chef there, Paul, is really an authority on Southern cuisine, and has you can go to their website, and he has long posts about sort of where he gets his inspiration from. So you can learn so much about a dish that you might have thought about before.
All right, check out chicagotribune.com. We're going to post the list of these restaurants up on our site at wgnradio.com if you go to the Dean Richards page, or just go to the website for any of these restaurants as well. It's great to see you, Nick. Thank you for coming
in. Yeah, thank you so much.
Really appreciate the great information. Nick Kindlesberger, a food and dining reporter with the Chicago Tribune. Tuesday also is what's become known as Punchki Day. We'll talk about that coming up next, and where you can go find the best ones in the Chicago area next. Punchki Day is one of the best days of the year, isn't it?
One of the best days ever.
Yeah, start of the, the day after is the start of the Lenten season, but you're talking about, Cajun and Creole food to celebrate Mardi Gras. But here in Chicago, the celebration is with punchkis, these little Bismarcks, filled with a variety of different things that are just traditions to have in the workplace, to share with family and friends, to begin the Lenten season that starts the next day. Wanted to talk a little bit about punchkis and where you can find the best ones in Chicago and learn a little about them in the first place. So we're happy to have in studio with us, Bakery Royalty is here with us today. Norman Dinkle Jr., from the famous Dinkles Bakery on North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. Norm, thank you for coming in. It's great to meet you in person.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here.
As I told him when he came in the room, I'm pretty sure I put most of your family through college, and you know, just by going to the bakery, because it's very near where I live.
We appreciate that. Yeah. That's very nice.
Well, it's one of these great bakeries, and we've got a lot of them in Chicago, thank goodness. These great family-run businesses that have been open forever that continue the traditions that usually their families have started and still deliver that same kind of great quality that their fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, mothers, you know, they're all started many years ago. And that is the case in your family, right?
Yeah, we've been in business since 1922, so we're getting close to 100 years.
How about that?
Yeah, and serving the community, basically serving the world with our mail order business around the holidays.
Wow, yeah.
And a lot of punchkies this week.
Tell the Dinkle story. It started with your grandfather?
My grandfather came from Germany. He worked for different bakeries. One was Schulze Birch Baking. And then he found his little niche. Back in those days, the Germans would go back to Germany on vacation, but they didn't have airplanes, so it was a long trek on ships. So yeah, he would run other people's bakeries for them while they were gone, and he realized that he built their businesses very successfully while they were gone for almost a year. So yeah, he then bought a bakery on Lincoln Avenue, and changed it to the name Dinkles, and history began in 1922.
Yeah. Why not do it for myself? Is what I'm doing it for others. Why shouldn't I do it for myself?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, the location that your grandfather bought is not exactly where you are now, but no, pretty close.
Pretty close. It was across the street where Rex Rugg's carpeting is today. That building no longer exists, but in 1926, they bought across the street where our cafe is now, and then they're planning to build the store, and then World War II broke out, so nothing could be done until after World War II. So the store was built in 1946, 47.
About that, the store that you're in now, since 1926.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. These great Chicago stories, these great businesses that have been, you know, open and maintained by families forever. You've got all kinds of great products, that's for sure. But you know, right now for this week, we're talking punchkies. How many punchkies do you think you will make this week?
Well, normally we'll make anywhere up to 27,000 punchkies between now and the end of Fat Tuesday.
Wow, that's amazing.
A lot of punchkies going.
And you have many, many varieties, I'm sure.
Well, I think we cut them down to about 12 this year. We had higher amounts, but logistically, doing all these and we're doing them in a short period of time, I said a good even dozen makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, you can't make them too far in advance, right?
No, they're made. It's a long process. It basically takes us probably 10 hours from beginning to end to have a completed punchkie. And they got to be done fresh. This is not an item that it's not like a cookie where you could make it a week ago and have it ready to go today.
Right. So talk to me a little about the history of punchkies.
Well, I'll be honest with you, up until probably the early 80s, I never heard of a punchkie, but the Detroit bakers were selling punchkies, and it's spread throughout the country, and our big day would be Ash Wednesday, selling a lot of hot cross buns. Well, that day was not as popular as it used to be, and so I said, well, I'm going to start making punchkies. So I took our regular Berliner dough or Bismarck dough, and the first year I introduced them, I had a Polish lady grab me and said, Mr. Dinkle, this is not a punchkie. This is not a punchkie. So I said, thank you. So then I started on the road, and it took me about 6 years to come up with what I felt is a good, rich yeast raised dough, a lot of butter, a lot of eggs, a lot of sugar in that. And it's a delicious, fun thing to eat.
Yeah, so this goes back really hundreds of years from what I understand.
My understanding is that in Poland, is when the bakers wanted to clean out their larder because people starting Ash Wednesday started to fast a lot. And so you know, they weren't going to be eating a lot of sweets.
It's a good time to clean out the equipment that you normally use.
Absolutely.
Right. And use up ingredients, I would imagine, right? Mm-hmm. So because you knew it was going to be slow for the next 40 days.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, how about that? And I was reading also, I don't know if you've heard this also, that in the Middle Ages, a version of punschkis existed, but they were savory. And they were filled with pork and beef and, you know, like that. So it sounds like a pasty to me, like they sell in Upper Michigan.
Yeah,
sounds
very much like a pasty. I've not heard of that before. Yeah, yeah, that, that would be a real difficult one to make, because if you started frying and putting food, well, it's something to think about. But right now, with the 20...
Stay with the tradition.
Yeah,
stay with the tradition. You don't want to get the little old Polish lady mad at you again.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I want to be happy with everybody, all of my customers.
Yeah, and so, yeah, exactly. Well, what kind of fillings are the most popular for you?
Well, that's a good question. Fresh strawberry is popular. We introduced a new filling this year, poppy seed filling. Our most popular would be the raspberry.
Love that.
And apple, and then the chocolate. The chocolate punschke is delicious. That's made of a chocolate silk filling.
Wow.
And is iced with chocolate icing. It's really
good. Oh, man. Yeah, that sounds like heaven.
And no calories, because we have a patented process. Right. As soon as you bite into it, all the calories go into the air.
All the calories disappear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, that's why Dinkles has been in business so long. You figured out how to make it healthy for everybody as well. You know, my feeling on that is it's punschke day. It's one day of the year. And, you know, the next day is Ash Wednesday. You're probably going to give something up anyway. But, you know, I think every once in a while you have to splurge a little bit and enjoy yourself and enjoy the butter and enjoy the sugar, you know, for one day. Well, that's how you enjoy things in life.
Yeah, I think punschkes are great. I think a lot of people take them to the office, and I think people sort of get and have a cup of coffee and sit down and have the punschke, and I think it's a good day to know your fellow employees and get along, and I think that's a nice tradition.
It's a nice tradition of that in the office, and that I love. You must see this all the time of families coming in and probably buying dozens of boxes, I'll bet, right? Pass out to other family members or for coworkers. Explain, I mean, I'm sure people are going to be going out, there's going to be a line going out your door tomorrow.
Everybody be patient, please, because everybody wants them at early in the morning or late in the evening. And, you know, bakery's products are what keep families together. If you think about it, it's birthday cakes, anniversary cakes, first Holy Communion cakes, anything special, graduation cakes, coffee cakes for Sunday morning when people want to get together. So the punschkes are part of that family tradition. It's, the aunts and uncles might get together with the cousins and sit down and have coffee and milk and punschkes and talk about good things.
Talk about other family members.
Right, exactly.
I opened up the phone lines and asked people where do they get their punschkes every year. So we're going to go to the phone lines in a second. I love, as I'd mentioned, I live right near Dinkles, so it's been a longtime favorite of mine. The Roser's Bakery, John Roser and his family have been doing the same thing.
John Roser's a good friend of mine.
He's such a good guy.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. We commiserate a lot and tell stories a lot.
I can imagine. He's a great guy, and they've been also doing great bakery products and punschkes for years at Kedzie and North Avenue. Weber's, before I moved to the north side, I lived south, and we go to Weber's on Archer Avenue.
Great bakery.
Yeah.
Great family.
Great family. Yeah, I've never met the family there in all these years.
Yeah,
but
I knew Mike Weber, I know, and Rick, his father, I knew very well.
Yeah. Let me take a break, and we'll come right back and go to the phone lines and get some of your picks. 312-981-72. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. And on our food time show today, we're talking about punschkes. Do you say punschke or punschke?
I say punschke.
You say punschke.
Punschke.
I've heard different pronunciations.
I think so, because the way you spell it is hard to pronounce.
Yeah, well, the way it's spelled is nothing like the way it's pronounced. It's like P-A-C-Z-K-I, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe it has to do with, I don't know if one is more correct than another, has to do probably with your ethnicity, what neighborhood you grew up in. That's, you know, probably where all of those things come from. But
as long as it tastes good, who cares?
As long as it tastes good, that's right. Really all that matters. Exactly right. And where are your favorites? 312-981-7200. This is Judy in Arlington Heights. You're on WGN. Hello. Judy, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Great. Okay. Yes, I'm in Arlington Heights. Sweet Teas on Dunton in downtown Arlington Heights. She's a great little baker. She's got a great bakery, I should say. She must have 15 different varieties of punchkis for Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I've been on the keto diet. So, but I'm cheating on Tuesday.
You got to cheat. You got to cheat every once in a while.
Yeah, right.
Did you say sweet tea, like tea that you would drink?
Like a capital T. Sweet tea.
Oh, sweet tea, like the drink.
Yeah, sweet tea, uh-huh.
Okay.
Not the drink, but like a capital T. Just a T.
Oh, just a capital T. I see
what
you mean.
She opened maybe 4 years ago. She's a wonderful creative artist. She does beautiful cakes.
Very nice. Just
beautifully done.
Judy,
yeah.
Hang on for 1 second because I want to get you a couple of tickets for the 5th Annual Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo at Plumbers Hall, March 9th and 10th. Hold on, and we'll get your name on that. This is Brenda. You're on WGN. Hello. Hello, Brenda. Are you there? Hear myself. I got to say, I sound great today. That's fantastic. Sorry, Brenda. You got caught up in the delay there. So Carol is up next. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. I was just at Dinkle's yesterday. I like their cinnamon donuts and potato bread.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff right there. That's good
My
stuff.
Recommendation for the punchkis, though, I like to go to the Shop and Save Polish grocery stores.
Where's that?
Well, there's one right on Milwaukee and Devon. There's one behind the in Gulf Mill behind the JCPenney store. And there's one on the south side, Archer, west of Central.
Now, this is the name of the store, Shop and Save?
Yes. And they have a bakery in there, which makes very good rye bread and punchkis and that. And naturally, they have a lot of varieties for the holiday now.
Okay, very good. Very good. Well, Carol, I appreciate your calling in, letting everybody know that. Hang on for a second. I've got a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for you. And let's go to Bob up next. Bob, you are on WGN. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing? I heard the thing about punchkis and my favorite bakery. Now, I'm outside of Chicago a ways. Have you ever heard of Morris, Illinois?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. I go over there all the time on my bikes before I had a stroke. But anyway, I was there this morning, and punchkis, they will be lined up outside the door when they open at 6 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. They do a huge thing of punchkis, and they're yummy. They also have the best cinnamon rolls you can get any place in northern Illinois. Just fantastic.
And what's it called? Morris? It's called Morris Bakery?
It's just a plain old Morris Bakery. Nothing fancy. It's okay. On Liberty Street, right downtown Morris.
Yeah.
And it's the greatest little bakery in northern Illinois.
Okay, that sounds good. Hang on for a second, because I want to get you a pair of tickets to the Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo. Have you heard of any of these places?
No, I have not heard of any of these places. Yeah. I'm a city boy.
You're a city boy. What like? What are some of the other great city places to you?
In bakeries or?
Yeah, well, you know, punchki related.
I think Benderson's Bakery and Tag's Bakery in Evanston, Deerfield's Bakery up in Deerfield, Illinois are great.
Got a bunch of texts for the Bridgeport Bakery by Loomis and Archer.
Yeah, I don't know the folks at Bridgeport, but they're a famous bakery as well, for sure.
Yeah, these are just great, great places. If people want to stop at Dinkle's, it's 3329 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. Your hours for Tuesday will be regular hours?
Well, we'll be open from 6 a.m. on, but we'll have a soft opening about 5 a.m. for people to come by. And we have prepaid orders. We have credit card prepacked punch key, and then we have counter sales by my great sales staff. They'll be there to take care of all the customers.
Okay, so you can call and pre-order then,
too. You betcha.
Save a little bit of time that way.
Mm-hmm.
The what's the phone number?
773-281-7300.
Or it's dinkles.com, dinkels.com. Norm Jr., it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Thank you for coming in.
And I'm honored to be here.
It's our honor to have you here. We're going to take a quick break and get ready for Mark Carman, who's coming up next.